Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, April 26th. Morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Taboo Bar and Lounge in Center City, Philadelphia is now at the center of an investigation after one of its patrons was assaulted outside of the bar and later died. Neighbors say they heard and saw some of the commotion after the bar's bouncer allegedly punched a man so hard in the head that he hit the ground and went unconscious back on Saturday, April 16th. That victim, 41-year-old Eric Pope, died over the weekend from his injuries. Now, Taboo says the bouncer was not an employee at the bar. He may have worked for a private security company. In recent weeks, there have been other incidents at Gaborhood Bars involving the same security company, according to police reports obtained by 6ABC. One incident was recorded on March 27th at 2:45 a.m. at a Voyeur nightclub, and a second incident happened on April 3rd at U Bar. Security guard choked and slammed the complainant to the ground. The complainant sustained a head injury, the police report read. Taboo's management released a statement saying, when the unconscious individual was reported to our management, we immediately called 911 and sought assistance. Taboo says it is cooperating with Philadelphia police. The bouncer is also cooperating with police, but it's unclear if he's facing any charges. I was actually at that bar not that long ago. They do a drag brunch on Sundays, and I went with a group of friends, and it was a lot of fun, and it was not violent at all.
Right.
I mean, you know, it doesn't say that this can't happen, but...
And people don't... We've talked about it many times. You punch someone, you think, okay, I'm just going to punch them.
Yep.
They fall back and hit their head, and you can easily kill them.
And that's what happened in this case. Very sad. A birthday celebration was held for Dulce Maria Alvarez, the little girl who went missing from the Bridgeton City Park in 2019. The missing girl is now 8 years old. She was just five when she disappeared from the park. Her family and law enforcement still have hope that she is alive. In the absence of evidence to the contrary, we hold out hope that she is alive. This is an ongoing investigation, said the Cumberland County Prosecutor's Office in a statement. The party decorations were Moana-themed, one of her favorite movies. Her birthday today. Her birthday is today. She's supposed to be 8, and she's not here with me or my family, and that's hard, the girl's mother said. I feel sad and empty that Dulce is not here. Police say the girl was playing in the park with her brother behind the Bridgeton High School on September 16th, 2019, when she disappeared. Dulce's mother was in the car while the children played, and that's when the girl vanished. Alvarez Perez said, the girl's mother said in a previous interview, that she regrets letting her daughter leave her sight. A day after Dulce was kidnapped, authorities issued an Amber Alert with one key suspect characteristic, a man in a red van. Investigators scoured the area for signs of Dulce and that red van. Police and the community participated in search after search in hopes of finding any key piece of evidence. Nothing has ever been found and no red van was ever located that could be connected to Dulce, according to authorities. The FBI says the public should be on the lookout for a young Hispanic male, roughly 25 to 35 years of age, who was maybe last seen in that playground area.
That story recently with that that kid with autism was found like 2-3 years later has given me a little more
hope
for stories like this, that maybe someone kidnapped this kid and has them and... You know, you hope for the best, but, I mean, that's just torture for them.
Well,
there have been a couple of stories recently where things similar to that, where people who were missing have been found. There was that story, I think it was decades in China, where somebody was missing, you know. And I mean, you always hold out hope because you have to.
Yeah.
The odd thing, though, there was nothing. Like, they said it was a Hispanic man and a red van. They never found
a
Hispanic man or a red van. You know, nothing was found of hers. No clothing, no toys, nothing that was, you know, that would indicate anything. So they really have no idea. And it's
nothing
sad
to go on. Yep.
It will be a little easier to get around Ocean City, New Jersey this summer. The Shore Town will be introducing a new Jitney shuttle service that will offer two routes serving the boardwalk and the Asbury Avenue downtown shopping district. I think this is the best idea. They have it in Sea Isle, and it's one of the greatest things.
What is it?
It's a Jitney, and it shuttles you. You don't have to move your car. You can go throughout the island.
I don't know what a Jitney is.
Oh, it's just like a bus that picks up people that will take you. Yeah. They've had it in Atlantic City for years. I'm assuming it still runs there. I haven't been to Atlantic City city in years. But yeah, we in Sea Isle, it's, I mean, it's great. It's absolutely wonderful. The pilot program will include an app that will allow riders to pay a $2 fare and track the locations of the jitney as they approach.
Yeah, the biggest bitch about going from town to town in that area is parking.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, nightmare.
You know, so,
and Ocean City's bad.
Yeah. So if you've got this, that's real easy to get around.
Kathy, I think they still have the jitney in AC, although I don't know if the pandemic has changed it in between casinos, you know, so it'll take you from one to the other. And that's part of the reason why they brought it to AC in the first place, is that you want to go from one casino to the next, just hop on the jitney.
Right. Providing safe and reliable transportation during the busy summer season is one of our greatest needs, and I'm looking forward to offering this service to our residents and guests, said Mayor Jay Gillian last week. Council is expected to award a contract during its May 12th meeting to a company that will provide the jitney service. The boardwalk route is scheduled to begin May 27th and run through September 5th. The downtown route will operate from June 14th to August 25th. The route serving the boardwalk will start at 55th Street and West Avenue. It will run along West Avenue to 14th, switch over to 14th and Ocean, then to 9th and Ocean, to 9th and Atlantic Avenue, and then finish at 6th and Atlantic. The jitney will turn around on 6th Street and reverse the route back to 55th Street.
So they never had a jitney there?
No.
Ever.
This is the right case? This is the first time?
It's just wild because, like, I remember being on a jitney in, like, my high school years, but I must have been in another town at that point, but I always spent my summers in Ocean City growing up. So that, I mean,
so you use it regularly?
No. I just remember being on one. Right. It must have been when I was in Sea Isle that, like, one time. Huh.
Well, but Sea Isle's wasn't back when we were in high school. That started not that long ago.
Okay.
The boardwalk route will operate 7 days a week from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. For the downtown service, jitney will run along Asbury Avenue between 55th and Battersea Road. Days of operation will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. In sports this morning. The Sixers lost to the Toronto Raptors in Game 5, 103-88.
What the f*** is it?
Pascal Siakam had 23 points and 10 rebounds, and the Raptors forced a return home for Game 6 in the Eastern Conference first-round series.
What the f*** is that?
The Raptors won two straight in the series and jumped all over injured center Joel Embiid and James Harden last night. The Sixers still lead the series 3-2. Game 6 will be in Toronto Thursday night at 7 p.m. The Phillies beat the Colorado Rockies last night at the ballpark 8-2.
They did it!
Bryce Harper homered and drove in two runs. Reese Hoskins had three hits, and the Phils took advantage of several defensive miscues by the Rockies. Kyle Schwarber added two RBIs for the Phils, and Kyle Gibson got the win, pitching 5 2/3 innings, allowing two runs on only three hits. The series continues tonight in South Philly, and Zach Eflin will get the start. The first pitch is scheduled for 6:45. And the Flyers lost to the Blackhawks 3-1 last night in Chicago.
What the f*** is this?
Alex DeBrincat scored his 41st goal in the third period, and Kevin Lankinen made 33 saves. Jonathan Toews had a goal and an assist as Chicago won for just the fifth time in the last 20 games. The Flyers have only two games left in the season and will be on the road again tomorrow night with a game in Winnipeg against the Jets. The puck will drop at 7:30. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. Real quick about the jitney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a funny sounding word, by the way.
It is. Yes. It sounds totally. Kind of like
sounds
semen.
Sexual. Yeah.
You know, something along the
jitney.
Which is, I don't know why I didn't know that term. I just, I guess maybe it was local and I didn't grow up around.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, you know, like, there are jitneys that run from New York down to Atlantic City. But they're longer trips. But a lot.
Is that a brand? Is that a
I think a so. Because, okay. Wait, the only reason I know that is because my neighbor has a jitney in his driveway. Why? I have absolutely no idea.
Okay.
And apparently it needed to be, the battery in it needed to be charged. And for whatever reason, it died in front of my house. So it lived in front of my house for like a week or so.
Okay. Let me go to Karen on the phone. Hi, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Hey, what's up, Karen?
Okay. So I grew up in Ocean City. I lived at 48th Street. And I used to have to take the jitney to my girlfriend's house, and it was 50 cents.
50 cents. Okay, so there was an Ocean there was a jitney in Ocean City prior to this.
Yes.
Okay,
I thought so. I wonder why they took it away.
What time frame?
I don't know.
What time frame is this, Karen?
This was the 70s.
All right.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay.
I was in the 80s.
Okay. All right, and you had ridden it in the
80s? Yeah, okay. 80s, right. Early 90s.
All right.
I mean, they get...
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Press, you can see the picture here. They're smaller. Like, they're not big, huge buses.
They're gigantic.
I mean, they can, it fits enough people on
That's
there.
Like a that's a bachelor party bus.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that is. Yeah, with the big windows and everything. Marissa, you want to
when I was in the 90s and I would spend summers with my grandmother, that was how we were at 52nd Street, and that's how we got to the boardwalk.
Oh, okay.
Jitney. But I think the Ocean City Jitney was more of like a trolley. If I remember, like,
it wasn't like a jitney.
This bus as much.
But it was called
the jitney.
The name.
I wonder why they took it away.
The name comes from the slang term jitney, meaning nickel. Any length of ride on a jitney used to cost only $5.
How about that?
There you go.
A nickel.
Did not know that.
There you
All
go.
Right,
that you learn
jitney
stuff.
In my pants.
Even this early in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Well, nonetheless, thank you very much for enlightening us, Ms. Romano, with your wonderful news report today.
You are very welcome.
All right, so we have some things going on. We have the triumphant return of Casey Boyd.
Yay!
Hey, thank you, everybody.
We have Concert Cash happening, so your opportunity to win some money and tickets. That's happening twice during our show alone. And on the program today, this very morning, Jay Wright breaks his silence on the Preston and Steve show concerning his recent retirement from the world of collegiate sports.
Yeah.
So we're going to check in with our buddy Jay and see where his head is at.
We're still processing it.
All that stuff. I know, exactly. So we'll get to him early in the 8 o'clock hour, like 8:15, 8:20, something like that. So we have a lot to get to, obviously. So let's take a break, come back in a second. The Entertainment Report and the Stupid Question will be right around the corner. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. And coming soon to OnlyFans. I'm kidding.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We'll do a stupid question, give away a prize. I have a certificate for a free float.
Oh, fun.
From Halcyon Floats. Yes, and the question that we're going to go with is, a bloat refers to a group of what animal?
I know.
You do know this?
I do.
Days of Quizzo?
Yes.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. So a bloat refers to a group of what animal? 215-263-WMMR. Yeah, Casey,
I think you just came up with a great soap opera, Preston. Days of Quizzo.
Days of Quizzo.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That could work. All right, we'll go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your call. Today is the 26th of April, and we'll begin with a legend in the world of comedy, Carol Burnett.
Oh, my God.
Has her birthday.
Unbelievable
today. Talent. Yep.
And her history. I want to see a movie about her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Because when she was a kid, they were fairly poor, but they lived basically right there in Hollywood, and they lived in a small apartment. I think it was her and her grandmother.
Okay.
Or so that was the ear tug was for.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who was hard of hearing, and so that was sort of a visual message.
That's cool.
She would go see the movies, and that's why you always had these movie parodies on her show. But think about, she, at that time, was the marquee name on a network variety show.
Yeah.
The Carol Burnett Show.
Yep.
That was something amazing.
Yep. And those sketches were ahead of their time.
Still,
man.
Hold on.
They're excellent. Tarzan yelled. That people always wanted her to do.
Yeah.
So she is 89 today. It's Kevin James's birthday today.
Yeah. I love Kevin James.
We've had the pleasure of being in his company a couple times, and he's what you want.
Yeah.
He's just the nice dude. That's all there is to it.
I remember him years ago, Preston. I was judging a comedy show that he was performing at. Like, the same thing happened actually with Adam Ferrar. And he did a bit that he's been doing for years about, carrying a musket as a defense weapon and the process of loading it and shooting it and all that stuff. It was a hilarious bit. And I think he still does it now and then.
He's 57 today. It's also Jet Li's birthday today, the action movie star. He's been going through some real bad health issues.
He has
right?
been going through health issues. The first time I remember seeing him was in that Lethal Weapon movie. Was it number four?
I think it was the third one.
The third one?
Yeah.
But he's a legend near Bruce Lee level.
Yeah. He turns 59 today. Do you remember Michael Damian?
Yes, I do.
He was on The Young and the Restless. Oh, my God.
Rock on. Ooh, my soul. Hey, King.
is a cover, isn't it?
Yes.
Man, who originally did this?
Great song, by the way.
Yeah.
Michael Damian was on The Young and the Restless. They played him off as this rock star on the show.
Yeah.
The dude could barely sing.
Barely.
And they managed to have him do a cover of this song, Rock On, and it was a moderate hit.
Wasn't he on Baywatch, too?
Oh, was I don't he? Know.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Well, I know Hobie covered that song on Baywatch. Maybe that's what you're thinking.
Maybe that's my confusion. Yeah. The other great singer.
Hobie Buchanan.
You remember Jack Wagner also from soap operas had a couple of hits?
He had a song called All I Need.
All I need is just a little more time to be sure what I need. Is it all in my mind?
Yes, and by the way, it was David Essex that originally Rock On. T-Boz, her name is Tion Watkins. Aww. Of TLC, is 52 years old today. I always liked TLC. I was playing Top 40 music at the time when they were big, and I went to see them in concert. They were great.
They seemed
talented. I had a thing for Chili. Chili, she was my gal in the band. Jordana Brewster, she came by here one time. She was very nice.
I was just watching her last night in the last Fast and Furious.
Which
movie.
One? Was that F9 or F10? F9. FX
that's
or whatever?
That's the space one, Preston, where they end up briefly in space.
Oh, my God.
But in the movie,
yeah,
Vin has never been more this way.
Really?
When you hear him talk, it's like...
The bubble throat.
Yeah, and then, it's just amazing to watch.
So she's 42. Singer Gary Wright, Dream Weaver.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, great song, actually. And he also did a song called My Love is Alive. And he turns, he's 79 years old today. That song would have been mid-70s?
I would think, right?
74, 75, somewhere around that time?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Great song. Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah.
Great actor. Breaking Bad. He was amazing in.
And also Mandalorian.
And Better Call Saul now.
And Better Call Saul.
And The Boys.
The Boys.
Which I can't wait till that next season comes out.
He plays a good nemesis.
And our buddy Craig Ligon's pointed out a very tiny blip of a role that he is in the movie Trading Places, when Eddie Murphy is in jail and does the quarter blood technique kung fu and all that.
Yeah.
He's standing next to him.
That's cool.
And had no idea. He's just like a young guy who ended up in jail and doesn't have any words. He's just standing right there.
He's actually a funny comedic actor, but he's never used for that, you know?
Yes. So he's 64 today. It's also Channing Tatum's birthday today.
Our good buddy.
Our buddy. He was a very nice guy when he came by here. But he's on top of the world. He does all kinds of really successful stuff.
Dating Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
He's in her movie Pussy Island, which she directed.
That is correct.
I do get the feeling that he would remember being here, though. I think he's one of those guys that, like, you know, they do a lot of interviews, but I think we made an impression.
I think he thinks about us a lot.
I think probably that.
Yeah.
I think he thinks the same about
way
us
we,
a lot.
Right, Kathy? The same way we got ourselves into Bradley Cooper's soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 42 today, and he's very special in my mind because he shares a birthday with my daughter, Caroline.
Oh!
Caroline's 15 years old today.
All right. Are there plans already in motion for the Sweet 16? Or how far out do you start?
I don't think she'll want a big fuss made about her birthday.
We could come over and do a Sweet 16.
We could.
I'm all about the 16th birthday.
Are you really?
Well, remember we did my quinceañera?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. In fact, it would be her quinceañera today. She's 15.
Very nice.
Quinceañera was 15, not 16?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, quinceañera.
And by the way, Kathy, other than me, Rochelle, and the doctors and nurses, Kathy Romano was the first one to see.
That's pretty wild.
She was in the delivery room. when Caroline was born.
I tell the story every year, but it was so exciting because they had two boys. Like, all the nurses and the doctors knew that you guys had two sons. You didn't find out what you were having. It came out a girl. Everyone was like, yay!
Jumping around the room.
Yes.
She is one of the greatest people in the world in my mind. And by the way, we went to the doctor yesterday, and she was officially measured her height. She's 5'10 and a half.
When I saw her, I was like, oh my, I couldn't believe how tall she had gotten. Last time I saw her, she was not 5'10.
Use it. Do what Julie Newmar said years ago. Work it. Use it. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
Happy birthday, sweetie. I love you. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. A bloat refers to a group of what animal? And we will go to Kate to see if we can get the answer. Hey, Kate, good morning. Kate, what group is known as a bloat?
That would be a group of hippos.
Yeah, hippopotamus. Oh. Hippos. Hang on a second, Kate. We are going to set you up. We have a certificate for a free float from Halcyon Floats and Hippos Floats.
They float. They float like a hippo.
Gracefully. It's a $79 value,
bangles.
By the way, and we're going to give, you can give mom the ultimate gift of relaxation with MMR's big friggin' deal. This week only, you can get one 90-minute float at Halcyon Floats for just $35. You can help mom float her stress and pains away. Available now at WMMR.com, and you got to hurry up because the deal ends on Sunday. All right, we got stuff to get to, gang. Reports say that Jada Pinkett Smith was adamant on moving forward with a family vacation to India following Will Smith's infamously slapping of Chris Rock at the Oscars last month.
How could she do that?
How could she slap? Will was spotted arriving in Mumbai this past weekend. Black Enterprise has reported that the actor went to Mumbai to seek counsel from spiritual guru Sadhguru.
Sadhguru?
It's S-A-D-H.
Go with the happy one.
G-U-R-U. So okay. Sadhguru, I guess is how you say
that. Guru's a bummer.
What a sad guru.
Yeah. Do you have any happy gurus?
Meanwhile, Page Six has reported that Smith said his trip to India is part of his vow to do the, quote, work to ensure that I never again allow violence to overtake reason. Hollywood's results reveal that Will still hasn't personally apologized to Chris Rock.
That's a glaring, obvious misstep, you know?
Does he not want to apologize to him?
What do you take away from that, right? Isn't the indication that he really is not penitent about this and that he's, maybe Sadhguru can help him.
One insider said, Will's spiritual journey to India for yoga and meditation seems cynical and ridiculous given that he hasn't apologized personally to the one person he assaulted in front of millions.
Go. Yep.
No amount of namastes will make up for that.
Hocus is up.
But it's funny, I could see them going, somebody going, man, you know what you should do? You should go to India.
Yeah.
Talk to a guru.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what'll do it. Yeah.
That'll make it all right.
Oh my God.
All of this means nothing until he has a moment, whether it be a little summit or a little get together or something, or publicly, since his act of violence was a public act, make the apology a public apology.
Well, and also privately too. I mean, if he hasn't done it privately yet,
that's even worse.
Yeah, I agree. On Monday, the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office released footage showing Alec Baldwin brandishing the gun that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of Rust moments before the tragedy took place. And the video shows Baldwin sitting in a church pew, donning Western attire. He reaches into his jacket, pulls out a revolver, and points it at the camera two different times. This footage was taken the same day that Hutchins was shot and killed by Baldwin with the same revolver. And the Sheriff's Department also released text messages between prop master Sarah Zachary and another crew member saying Alec never liked anything fake like guns and even the rubber knife. He always wanted the real knife, but eventually I gave him the rubber without him knowing, and he always wanted his real gun, she wrote. In a statement, District Attorney Mary Carmack Altwies said the investigation is not complete. The sheriff's office is still awaiting essential reports and will not be completing their investigation until those reports have been submitted. The district attorney's office must wait until the complete investigation has been turned over by the sheriff's office. Once we receive the completed investigation and conduct a thorough and deliberate review of all evidence, a criminal charging decision will be made.
So he had had his study, or somebody had investigated this, and he released, or his lawyer released, the finding and basically saying it vindicated him and no one was going along with that. Do you think the police let this information, or these audio files get out to rebuff that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got out, or maybe.
Yeah.
Not really sure. Yeah. But we'll follow along. Monday marked the eighth day of Johnny Depp's defamation trial against Amber Heard.
Is anybody having a good time?
And in one of the many audio recordings played in court depicting the former couple's volatile relationship, Heard says to Depp, "Go put your effing cigarettes out on someone else. You effing have consequences for your actions." As Heard's lawyer pointed out, Depp doesn't deny putting his cigarette out on Heard and instead replies, "Shut up, fat ass." Wow.
You know, if you peel back the layers, there was a lot of love there.
Oh, my God. While on the stand, Depp called this, quote, another grossly exaggerated moment and said that he did not put out a cigarette on her.
It was a cigar.
Or throw a cigarette at her. Other audio clips featured Heard saying, after you beat the S out of me, then a week later you show up at my doorstep and I'm going to die. You're causing me so much stress. I don't know, man. You know, there was that one therapist who spoke to them. It said that seemed like they were in a mutually abusive relationship. It kind of sounds that way. Listen, I'm not on the jury or haven't heard that stuff. But, right. I mean, these two people hated each other. And I'm wondering where it went from deeply, madly in love to I hate you, with the both of them hating each other like this.
There was that movie they worked on. When Amber Heard was in the studio, this was before, or was she promoting that movie, Tequila? Rum Diaries, yes. Yeah. And at that point, wow, it was all magical and wonderful.
Yeah.
But what a fast deterioration. I remember that it would look like a hostage video from Australia when they had their dogs quarantined.
Yeah.
And they recorded that video to apologize basically to Australia for violating their dog quarantine rules.
Yeah. So I don't know, but there's tales of abuse on both sides. And it's going to be a tough decision for this jury to make. Supernatural star Jared Padalecki was in a bad car accident recently. And his co-star, Jensen Ackles, said he's lucky to be alive. At Creation Entertainment Supernatural official conventions on Sunday, Ackles acknowledged Padalecki's absence, saying that the Walker actor said that he can't be here. I don't know if you guys know what's going on. He was in a very bad car accident. He wasn't driving. He was in the passenger seat, and he's lucky to be alive. Mm. He said, and not only that, but he's at home recovering, which... Well, the fact that he's not in the hospital right now is blowing my mind because I saw the car. The crash left Padalecki feeling like he had gone, quote, 12 rounds with Mike Tyson, according to Ackles. So apparently it was pretty bad.
So he's going to be in The Boys, Ackles. Jensen, I never knew how to pronounce it.
Who does he play? I don't know.
Is it
a new character?
It's a character that's very, I think, sort of Captain America-y.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And speaking of accidents and bad things happening, Princess Bride star Cary Elwes is recovering from a run-in with a rattlesnake over the weekend. He was bit, man.
Yikes.
He was reportedly doing yard work, and the serpent bit him on the hand.
Oh, my gosh.
According to TMZ, he was airlifted to the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center on Saturday to receive...
Give me some candy, stat.
Give
me jelly bean, stat.
For the snake bite.
God, yeah. Take a look at his finger. It's on the screen.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How did he not lose that?
Yep. It's all blown up and black and blue.
It looks like a jelly bean.
And sometimes... Mr. President, are you hungry? And sometimes, Kathy, it can cause tissue to deteriorate and essentially go gangrenous, and you have to have it amputated. But he showed that photo on Twitter referencing the Princess Bride. Elwes wrote, bit not by R-O-U-S's, but a rattlesnake, which is rodents of unusual size. Grateful to the staff of Malibu Urgent Care, L.A. County Fire Department, and the staff and medical professionals at UCLA Health for their great care. I'm recovering well, thanks to all these wonderful folks.
Wow. So I was with my old roommate yesterday, and he showed me a video of him catching a rattlesnake.
Well, yeah?
I was like, why are you doing that?
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
What he did, and I don't know how, you know, what sort of practice this is, but, you know, they have, like, one little stick to kind of, like, hold it down and back.
Right.
And then he has a pipe, or a tube, essentially, and you try and, like, get the snake to go into the tube, and that's how you end up, like, catching it or whatever.
And what do they do once they catch them? Do they release them elsewhere?
No, he was hunting rattlesnakes, so I guess he was, you know, going to eat it.
Because they end up on it. My parents have some property out in Colorado, and they end up on that property quite frequently, and they just shoot them. You know, it's not an endangered species, and if you see one nearby... And, you know, there's kids that are go visiting, whatever. It's not safe to keep them around.
Could be lethal.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm curious what his recovery is going to be like. Britney Spears is taking a hiatus from social media.
Oh, thank God.
The 40-year-old singer said in an Instagram post on Sunday she'll be taking a break for a little while. She said, I'm going on a social media hiatus. She said, I send my love and God bless you all.
Leave Britney alone!
The announcement follows news that Spears is expecting her third child, her first with her fiancé, Sam Ajay.
Wait a minute. When did she say this, Preston?
Aghari. Sunday.
Okay.
Is she back on?
8 hours ago, she posted this.
Oh, okay. It's her trying on outfits.
Oh, God. People now send me her videos because they know I just find it so bizarre.
It is.
Yeah. And I got one just the other day. Marissa, the girl was like, I can't stop looking at the mini couches now that she pointed that out.
Yeah, so, she's put up two things since she said she's taking a hiatus.
So, well, she doesn't really know what the word hiatus means.
Right.
She thinks it's like hummus.
Oh, I do like hummus.
She already has two sons, Sean Preston, 16, and Jaden James, who is 15, with her ex-husband, Kevin Federline. And these two, her and Aghari, got engaged in September 2021 among her conservatorship battle.
Wasn't he her trainer?
I'm not sure.
I think he was her trainer.
I'm not sure.
There you go.
After showing their support for Jon Stewart at the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor ceremony Sunday night, Page Six reports that Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson will be back in Washington for the White House Correspondents' Dinner this weekend. Yes.
Hey, everybody. Kim's here.
It will be headlined by Trevor Noah.
Pete.
One source told the publication, I don't think they should feel like that they're safe. Trevor could definitely turn his attention to Kim and Pete.
It's
a roast on anybody who's there.
That's what they do usually.
So they're going to be have to be open to some little prodding.
So at this point, they're past Insta official, and they're full on. They're DC official.
They're a couple. Yeah, they're DC official now. Right. Exactly. Speaking of couples and whether or not they're together, Page Six reports that after Thandi Newton left Magic Mike
Thandi?
Last Dance,
yeah.
It's Danny with a list.
You can't help it.
Thandi.
This is Kanicki.
Sandy.
Could you think Broody School Dropout, please?
Summer loving, sad me a blast.
After Thandi Newton left Magic Mike's Last Dance to deal with family matters,
Thandi?
Amid speculation that she and her husband, Ol Parker, were splitting up, the actress was spotted kissing Elijah Diaz, also known as Loner.
Oh, boy.
It's
hard to keep track of this.
Outlet writes that the pair engage in a steamy makeout session.
Ooh.
After grabbing a bite to eat in Malibu on
Canoodling?
Saturday. Didn't say if they were canoodling,
okay.
But they were a steamy makeout session.
Is Thandi queer?
I do not know.
Oh. I don't know of these people that you're describing who are men and who are women.
Yes, I don't know. It's Elijah Diaz, who is also known as Loner, L-O-N-R. Oh,
Elijah's a man's name, right?
Elijah.
I thought you dropped a woman's name in there, too, so I got confused.
Ol Parker was her husband, so.
Gotcha. What about New Parker?
Don't know about
him. Ol Parker.
Or her.
Angel Parker. I love your work, Thandi.
During an Instagram Live on Sunday, Gwyneth Paltrow responded to a question about why she and Chris Martin decided to name their daughter after a fruit. Paltrow said, her dad came up with the name, and I fell in love with it. I thought it was original and cool. I can't imagine her being called anything else. E! News reports that Paltrow told Oprah in 2004, when we were first pregnant, her daddy said, if it's a girl, I think her name should be Apple. It sounded so sweet, and it conjured such a lovely picture for me. And
she said, the word apple.
She said, apples are so sweet, and they're wholesome, and it's biblical, too.
Not apu, apu.
Apu.
Yeah, like biblical in a bad way?
It is, sort of, yeah. We bite the apple, right?
Mm.
But it's also, listen, you guys eat apples every day, don't you?
Every day.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's your way of honoring their daughter.
Mm-hmm. In a recent interview with Hollywood Reporter, Brooklyn Nine-Nine actor Terry Crews answered questions about his new memoir, which is called Tough, and it will be released on April. Well, it's released today, actually.
I hope he does a book tour.
Me too. We love talking to him.
It's great.
Yeah. When Crews was asked about coming out as a sexual assault survivor, he told the publication, I feel like that's literally probably the most important thing I've ever done. And Crews also commented on being a former, quote, toxic male. He said, as a former, what I would call toxic male, but the term toxic male, that term toxic masculinity has been used a lot, and it's actually been misused. He said, the term I really love right now is just abuse of power. And that really, really resonated with who I was. But then people just had more questions about how this goes down and what forms this and how do you get control of this.
Through all my time in therapy and through all my adventures over the last few years, I knew that it was time, and I was very grateful to get this opportunity, he said. So I don't know what all that means, but I guess he felt like he got a handle on his emotions, or maybe he was being over the top.
He had a couple things. He felt he was, he had that a couple encounters, which he recounted in Hollywood. And then also, he was, I remember he, years ago, said he was addicted to pornography.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah. All right, how about this? This is good news. M. Night Shyamalan announced last week he officially started filming his 15th movie, the mysteriously named Knock at the Cabin, and production will take place in and around Philadelphia and in South Jersey as well.
Love it.
Shyamalan last week posted a photo announcing that production on the film had officially commenced, holding a clapperboard with the film's title and an image of foggy, spooky woods.
Yeah.
Parts of the movie will be filmed in Philly, around the city, and in Burlington County. Little is known about the film, though it is, if it's anything like his previous work, it'll be a simmering, creepy thriller with a trademark mind-blowing twist.
I like that he's working a lot with Rupert Grint.
Also announced in the cast are Dave Bautista, Rupert Grint, currently stars in Servant.
He was at Elmwood Park Zoo last week.
Man. Come on, man. Really? Come in for an interview.
I know.
And it will also star Ben Aldridge, who starred in Pennyworth, a TV series based on the Batman comics, and Lancaster native Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was a Lancaster native.
Yeah. We've talked about that in the past. Yeah.
From Mindhunter and Hamilton and Frozen.
Frozen, sure.
Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. Yeah.
Rupert Grint must just be renting in the area and not leaving.
Because, he's got to be.
Yeah,
right?
Kathy spotted all over the main line. He was at Manella's Diner. He was at Terrain in Devon. Now he's at the Elmwood Park Zoo.
Don't you think he would come in here and receive nothing but adoration?
Of course.
For Rupert Grint, especially, did you finish off this recent season of Servant?
No, I've got to. I got some work to do.
Oh, I did.
It kicks ass.
It was another ending where I was like, what?
Yeah. But great. Okay. But great.
All right. Well, anyhow, Rupert Grint. We're looking for you.
We
want to talk to you, man. We'd love to chat. All right, and then one last thing. Deadline reports that Stranger Things actor David Harbour will play the lead in Cooper Rafe's The Trashers. Harbour will play Jimmy Galante, a Connecticut trash magnate and associate of the Genovese crime family.
Okay, yeah.
Which has been cited as an inspiration for The Sopranos.
We talked about this documentary. Is that about the hockey team that...
Are you serious?
Well, it sounds like it.
Man, that's a mess.
It's not about the hockey team. I assume it's going to focus on him and his trash company and organized crime.
His mob connections. Right.
But I think these are the people that that own that hockey team,
or
at least somehow associated with it.
Casey and I both watched this documentary, and man, it was fascinating. And these people, like you think initially they're villains, and then you kind of end up rooting for them a little bit. And they bought this minor league team during the lockout one year. They brought in some ex NHLers. It's a fascinating story about the mafia and trash and hockey.
Nice. Well, David Harbour, he's going to play the guy.
Excellent.
Which would be great. All right, we're ready for clips.
Exciting.
Based off the book of the same name, We Own This City chronicles the rise and fall of the Baltimore Police Department's Gun Trace Task Force. In this clip, author Justin Fenton describes a long process from book to series.
It's surreal. I mean, it's not something I ever thought was going to happen. When I started the book, it was always contemplated that there would be a show made by David Simon and George Pelicanos and Ed Burns, who did The Wire and other great shows. But, it took some time. I got the book out. We were working on this show and writing it. I was part of the writer's room, which is an amazing opportunity.
I don't give a f***.
We Own the City is on HBO now. Next clip. Memory is a remake of the 2003 film The Memory of a Killer, about an assassin who refused to complete a job for a dangerous criminal organization and has become a target. In this clip, Liam Neeson mentions how the director and he perfected the character. Here we go.
And I worked very closely with Martin Campbell, our director of Memory, because I wanted to put in little things I had observed with these afflicted people. And I would ask him, I'd say, Martin, look, I'm going to try this. If it's too much, please let me know. Tell me to pull back or whatever,
Shut the fuck up!
All right, so here, another action movie for him. He said he was going to quit doing action movies five action movies ago.
That's all he's been doing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then my new action movie,
Memory heads to theaters on Friday, by the way. So there you go, Liam Neeson.
Listen, he's good at them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah.
He's great at it. But it's just funny that
he made that declaration.
Said he was not going to do it anymore.
I'd like to pursue other types of movies.
That is what he is doing.
Well, it turns out I'm not getting offers.
All right. Well, today is a Tuesday. That means we got some free ink to give away in the form of a Preston and Steve tattoo for our, it's from our friends at Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. They are at 1729 South Street in Philly. They are awesome. You can check out their artwork samples, floatingworldtattoos.com or Instagram at floatingworldtattoos. And if you are interested, just text word tattoo to 39333. You'll automatically be in the running. We'll get a winner by the end of the show. Speaking of winners, I have a chance for you to win a pair of passes to see Marvel Studios Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. We have a screening of it Wednesday, May 4th. It will be at 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. The film hits theaters everywhere May 6th, and tickets are on sale now. And we will take callers 5, 6, and 7.
Great numbers.
And we will give you tickets, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get on board. We're going to take a break. Come back. Jay Wright will be joining us on the show this morning. So hang in there, as well as your chance to win money and tickets. We'll be right back.
WMMR proudly presents the return of Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids, Monday, May 2nd.
Hey, everyone, we're back, so get your ponytails ready for the chopping block. It's for a great cause, Wigs for Kids. Their mission, helping children look themselves and live their lives. Two locations this year, Gravity Hair Salon in Plymouth Meeting and David Arnold Hair Salon in Jenkintown. Make sure you have at least 12 inches, preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. And with what's left, the amazing stylist from Gravity and David Arnold Hair Salons will craft you a great new do. All donors get a gift bag of products from True Beauty Concepts. So go to PrestonandSteve.com for ponytail guidelines to ensure you have a minimum of 12 inches, but preferably 14 inches of hair to donate. Then make your appointment to join us May 2nd.
Kathy's Cuts, benefiting Wigs for Kids. From 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
I don't want to cause too much excitement, but today is National Pretzel Day.
No!
It is National Pretzel Day. And I have the history of how it became National Pretzel Day, in case you were wondering.
All right. Pretzels have really come to mean a lot to me, Preston.
Oh, they have?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. This particular food holiday dates back to 1983. It was Congressman Robert S. Walker of Pennsylvania decided that his favorite food, the iconic pretzel, needed its own holiday.
I've got to do something.
Pretzels.
And that's what he did.
Sorry, Mr. Walker, what'd you say?
Nothing. I'm a big champion of pretzels. Yeah. We'll talk about that other research later on.
And Walker told me I have AIDS, as well. I forgot about that. So he's a very pivotal man.
The guy meant a lot.
Yes, he did. So, yes, 1983.
Walker told me I have AIDS.
Well, how about a pretzel?
Huh. It'll make you feel better.
Here, kid, have a pretzel.
It's a soft pretzel.
It'll make you feel better. So, yes, he decided in 1983 that it would be National Pretzel Day on April 26th. There are a couple of specials that you can get. I only have three of them.
And they better be real specials,
are
they?
These are.
Okay.
These are legit.
Because I don't like the, it's the standard sale.
No, these are free.
All right.
So, Auntie Anne's, you can get a free original or cinnamon sugar pretzel all day long today. If you want the free pretzel, though, you do have to download the Pretzel Perks app and become a member.
I love cinnamon pretzels.
And then the other ones are Philly Pretzel Factory.
Great.
Easy. Free pretzel. Enjoy a free pretzel.
That's how you do it.
No purchase necessary at any Philly Pretzel Factory store or Walmart location. It's the 15th year that they are doing this promotion. They expect to give away today more than 150,000 pretzels.
So, wow. So when I pass the one on City Line, they must have some sort of smell pumper or something, because it comes into the car and I'm like, I've got to go in.
Mm. And then Wetzel's Pretzels has a free one as well.
Yeah.
Free original pretzel. They're offering to customers after 3 p.m. at participating locations.
Well, I hope they're all participating.
And you can follow the brand on TikTok for a chance to win free merch and a free pretzel promo code.
I will posit this notion that each of these has their own sort of special wonderfulness.
Yeah.
You know, each different company brings something to the table, and I'm a fan of them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what's your favorite way to have a pretzel? If you given your druthers, given your choice,
oh. The straight up way to have my like your a
favorite,
pretzel.
Your favorite way.
Okay, so my favorite pretzel.
Do you like to dip it in mustard? Do you like?
I think mustard. Okay. Yeah, that's I think mustard. Fair, yeah.
Oh, I'm same. Kind of a plain dude. I am a plain dude, and I save the not for last.
In
right?
a cool mood. And then there's different types of pretzels, yeah. like a cinnamon pretzel, as I said before. I love, but also my. Probably the pretzel I eat the most is the Hers thin pretzel in the one-pound bag.
Is it all pretzel day or soft pretzel day?
It's all it's the national all pretzel day. Oh, so yeah. Soft or hard pretzels.
I thought we were talking soft pretzels.
Anything. Whatever your favorite type pretzel.
Hers one-pounder.
I think one of my favorite ways, and it's very rare that I will have it this way because it's so special.
What's special?
Is a warm, soft pretzel. In whipped cream cheese.
Wow.
So you can dip into the whipped cream cheese.
You know what?
Pretty magical.
All right, add another one then to the roster. It is the Wawa sweet sour cream.
That's pretty tasty.
That is a
You got to get them at the right time.
Yep. If they're cold, you might
if
as well eat a rock.
If they've sat there too long,
yeah
it's not my favorite.
The jalapeno one is good as well. So
it is good.
But, you know, usually, like, if I'm just eating on a pretzel on the run, which is usually the case, I just go plain. And
I'm
a wealthy businessman. I got time for that. But if I do have a little bit of time, I do like a nice spicy mustard for my pretzel.
All right. I know this is not going to be a popular statement to me.
Okay, all right.
But when you go and do like a charity event or something like that, let's say like a run, you know, like a 5K, and they've got all the food set out for people to eat before they head out on the 5K, and there's the giant box of pretzels all stuck together that are shaped like the, you know, a skinny letter, number 8. I find those boring. I find them too doughy. I feel like, you know that scene in Castaway where Tom Hanks, after he's been there 3 years, is just methodically chewing on a fish?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel like when I mean those. Well, I'm just like, they're kind of boring.
They're too plentiful, too. They're always the default.
But they're accessible, and they're easy to put out. And if you have a crowd, I understand that. But given my choice, I would rather have a warm one. Mm-hmm.
If those were warm, and you seldom get them warm.
But some people love them cold like that, and I just, it's not my thing.
Listen, if I have to, and I'm hungry, and I just need to get some sort of, you know, calories in my system, I will do that. But if I don't have to, I will not do that. Hey, I want to talk about some a couple of unsung heroes in the area. One unsung hero is Pretzel Boys. Pretzel Boys is a...
Is it B-O-Y-Z?
I don't remember, but it is a chain. There aren't many in the area, but there's one in Drexel Hill, right across the street from St. Dot's Grade School, and they are huge fans of the radio show and the radio station. So
Pretzel Boys.
Pretzel Boys is damn good. And then also, on a more national, global level, and it's a hard pretzel, the butter twists, I think that's what that's called. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... My
I haven't
one.
Had one in a long time, but
I used to love them. But they after a while, they kind of started tasting a little synthetic to me.
What I used to do,
like, you know, fake butter.
A big thrill for me used to be, Preston, the large Dutch pretzels, and I would do I would heat up. They sell specific cheese that you can microwave in a jar. It's basically like, you know, Cheese Whiz.
Yeah.
But that was always good, and not enough salt.
Snyder's of Hanover are a go-to for me. The jug Snyder's of Hanover's are standard. I mean, there's nothing that exciting about them. I do like the different flavors that Snyder's puts out. I think they're just delightful. Casey, I'm going to give you a pretzel that's not good, but it has sentimental value. Any pretzel you buy going in and out of the Phil's game or Eagles game that reeks of exhaust.
Sentimental value.
It's been sitting outside for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months at this point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You used to be able to, when I was a kid, go up to the ballpark, go up to the vet, 6 for $1.
Yeah.
And inside at the ballpark, my dad would probably have to pay for one pretzel $4. But outside, $6 for $1.
$6 for $1.
So I learned the value of a dollar there.
And you can get like a fingernail on it or
whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah,
sure,
that's flavor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were terrible.
Yeah.
But I love them.
I agree with you. The over dough aspect of there's got to be a blend of whatever it is that makes a pretzel. And again, I would say that when you can get them heated up, Or at least warm.
Fresh out the oven.
Night and day.
Yep. Steve, if you like
that. Get that pretzel out your mouth.
If you like fancy pretzels and you like them warm, there's a place in Doylestown called the Salt Box.
Oh.
And that's all they do. They sell warm pretzels.
Really?
They're stuffed. They're regular. You can get whatever you want, but that's what they do. Like, they serve them fresh and warm. And they also
I'm chubbing up right now.
Yeah. They also do, I believe they do a pretzel truck. So if you had an event, you could have their pretzel truck come out.
See, that's a key thing. It's a key thing.
Marissa? You know?
All right, I have three pretzels to make. Mention to add to this conversation. One is the Snyder's Pieces.
Yes.
The honey.
Yes.
Honey mustard. They're good. I see those in the vending machine all the time, and I can like walk by it three times, and then I have to buy a bag.
Yeah, that's like a meal right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so the honey. Is it honey mustard or honey Dijon?
Yeah,
is that what that
like
is?
That.
Okay.
It's the flavor, yeah.
They have a couple of flavors, but I think the most popular one is the honey mustard and onion.
Yeah, there it
that's
is.
It. Yep. Yeah. There was another piece that I was forgetting. It was the onion. Okay.
Kudzu.
All right, two is the soft pretzel in water ice.
No, that's okay.
That's what killed my mother.
I'm not on board, but I got it. Yeah.
All right.
It's like dipping your fries in a Frosty, you know?
Oh, wait, you don't like that?
No, I do like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know. That's what my daughter loves.
I haven't done it in ages, but
that's why I can see somebody. Yeah, probably just not me with the water ice and pretzel.
Lastly, the quarter that was in my backpack every day for the soft pretzel at snack time.
$0.15.
15 cents.
Was that Super Pretzel, Marissa?
That was no. I feel like it was probably like Federal Street or Center City Pretzel.
My elementary school was Super Pretzel,
but it was every single day we bought a pretzel for 25 cents, and your teacher would always have a couple extra quarters in case you forgot yours. But that was like our snack time. That was break.
Casey, a number of people are texting in about Bernie's Pretzels. Yeah, Delco legend,
just
it says
said
here.
It. I just
oh, you said,
said
that. I'm
I
sorry.
Literally
it was
just
Bernie's?
Said it. Yeah, me and Nick were talking at the same time. He said Super Pretzel. I said Bernie. So Bernie's was the staple of the bazaar. Bazaar's not there anymore. And then when the bazaar closed down, Bernie's is now located in Alden, like off of Providence Road.
Like in the pretzel, what is it compared to as far as other pretzels?
It's just the greatest of all time. It's just as far as soft pretzels and Delaware County are concerned, they're
legendary.
Legendary. All it's right. Hand in hand.
Okay.
So, and also the mustard that you would get at Bernie's is the best.
Pretty special?
Mm-hmm.
Like a spicy brown or what?
Yeah, spicy brown.
All right. Let me go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks
to you, sir. National Pretzel Day. What's up, Chris?
National Pretzel Day. So my daughter's grandmother turned me on to Dots Pretzels.
Where?
I don't know if you've ever had them. They're kind of hard to find, but Kathy will love it. You can find them in Target.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
They're $6 a bag, but I promise you, they're worth it.
Wow. Oh, I'm going to try these.
So Dots, we have a picture up here that says Dots Homestyle Pretzels, and there are a couple of different flavors.
Southwest Original and Honey Mustard Season.
Are they pretzel sticks they look like?
They're pretzel sticks, and I promise you, if you get the red ones, you'll never have a better pretzel. I'm not even a pretzel guy. I had them, and now I'm addicted to them, and so are my two little boys.
Yeah, all I'm not doing $6 a bag, though, dude. That's ridiculous.
Well, splurge a little bit.
Why don't you try them first?
Yeah.
Because because if I love them, then I'm going to have to buy $6 bag pretzels.
You're working
under
the assumption that all your kids will need to go to college.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
possible.
You'll thank me later.
There you
all right,
go.
I'm game. All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Lisa. Hey. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
So I was calling. There is a place called the Happy Mixer. It's a gluten-free bakery, and they offer a gluten-free soft pretzel that is, like, absolutely awesome.
Right,
and they just offer it at special times. And they're doing it right now for National Pretzel Day.
You brought up something interesting. So my daughter's best friend has a gluten allergy. So whenever she comes over, we stock up on gluten-free stuff. The gluten-free pretzels are excellent.
Are they?
They taste slightly different.
Okay.
But I love them.
I
was in hoarding them when Emma comes over.
Jace is the same way. He likes the gluten-free better than the actual regular pretzel. I'm like, okay, we can get that.
There's something great about them. But I've never had a gluten-free soft pretzel before, Lisa.
Yes, you have to check this place out. It's a gluten-free bakery. They have like a full line of goodies, but right now they're running a special.
for gluten-free soft pretzels, and they are, like, out of this world. As someone who can't eat gluten, regular traditional soft pretzels anymore, it's, like, so fun to get to have that flavor and taste again. And they're just awesome. I mean, the whole bakery is great. All their stuff is awesome. But to have a soft pretzel again, which I haven't had in years, is awesome. And they run, like, a special a couple times a year, and they always do it for National Soft Pretzel Day.
And it's called the Happy Mixer?
It's called the Happy Mixer. They have a place in Chalfont, Bucks County, and in Newtown, Bucks County.
All right. I like that idea.
I'm going to look into that. Excellent. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks. Have a great one.
All right, you too. See ya. I didn't know there were all these pretzel joints.
Well, you know what? It's funny, because growing up in New York, we had pretzels, obviously. But down here, when I moved down many years ago, it's a pretzel culture.
All right, let me go to, let's stay in Bucks County. We'll go to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hey, good morning, it.
Hey, good morning, it, Dave. What's up, man?
Well, there's this place in Levittown on Woodburn. It's called Philly Style. They have, like, stuffed pretzel pocket sandwiches, and they have this ham and cheese one. It's so good.
Dave, I love when they serve sandwiches on pretzeled bread, you know, that kind of that combination is awesome.
Yeah, so you're saying pocket.
They're stuffing a pretzel pocket. It's ingenious.
Yeah, it comes out like a square, so it's like a sandwich, but it's just like all pretzel wrapped around, like just loaded with cheese and ham.
Wow.
Oh, it's so good.
Does it cost more than $6? Because Casey's not interested if that's the case.
I'm actually not sure if it costs more than $6, but even if it does, it's pretty
I say right. I say splurge. That sounds like the kind of food you rub on your face and call yourself a bitch, right?
You know what, though, with pretzels, like for me, I love a soft pretzel, but that to me is like so bad for you that like it's like what
pretzels are not routinely health food. That's why they hand them out at when you're doing a 5K or a 10, because I'm gonna burn some calories. But do you guys like the pretzel roll, right? For pretzel bread.
For from time to time, if we're gonna have burgers at the house or something, we'll buy some pretzel rolls.
Burger.
Yeah.
Oh! So Steve, I was in Epcot on Saturday, and we went to a restaurant in Canada, in Epcot, called Le Cellier. And they had the bread that they brought out. They had three different types of bread, and one of the breads was this pretzel bread. It was insanely delicious, and because it was more of a bread than a pretzel, but it had the pretzel outer shell to it, and then you would still
put
butter
on it.
It was a pretzel. Yeah.
I want to say I've been to a restaurant before that was the loaf that they served at the beginning of the meal, was a pretzel loaf of some type.
And you were in the greatest restaurant ever.
I can't remember what that was. By the way, if you're wondering why we're talking about all this, it is National Pretzel Day, and there's all kinds of specials. There's free pretzels at Philly Pretzel Factory and at Wetzel's Pretzels, and also Annie Ann's. You got to get the app at Annie Ann's to get the free pretzels.
We gravitate towards food. That's what we do. I know there's a lot going on in the world, but come on, man. Pretzels.
Well, you know what? I eat every day. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm one of those.
Yeah.
So, I eat pretzels every day. It's probably, Steve. Oh, yeah. You just referenced, like, they're not good for you. I know.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. I have a soft pretzel from Wawa every single day, and I find them to be wonderful. And here's the thing about the Wawa
and
soft
pretzels.
And
you're proud of it.
But I didn't initially take to the Wawa soft pretzel. It took me a little bit of coming around to it, and now it's not quite the standard, but it's pretty damn good.
Has to have mustard, yes.
Actually, when I go do it morning, naked. I go coffee, pretzel, that's it. Just plain pretzel.
Really? You have morning pretzel?
Soft pretzel every day.
Yeah. Wow. But I didn't know it was in the morning.
Yeah, he just ate one. You should have heard it.
He was too busy chewing on his apple.
All right, let me go to, I have Mike, who lives in Boston. Yo, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Got Dukes.
Hey, he's wicked smart. What's up, Mike?
So I relocated up here about 3 years ago, and trying to find, you know, comfort food that reminded me of home has been tough. Don't get me started on their steak and cheeses up here. It's disgusting. Anyway, thankfully there happens to be a Philly soft pretzel company down the street from where I work.
Nice.
Oh, in Boston. Okay.
Yeah. It shocked me too, but I brought them in one time. Like, I brought in a couple like pretzel dogs and the nuggets and stuff. And now the guys at work ride me for being from Philly until it comes to pretzels, because we order them like once every 2 weeks or so.
So they've converted them to the Philly pretzel, and you mentioned the Philly pretzel factories are the pretzel dogs. They're really good, really good.
Their spicy pretzel sausage is outstanding.
Oh my god,
the cheese dip.
Yep, that's my jam.
I like the little ones.
Oh, the nuggets.
I like the little hot dogs.
Yes.
Those are fantastic.
Yeah, so. But the spicy sausage one is the jam.
Okay.
I got them hooked on that. They won't admit that they like food from quote unquote Philly, but
all right. Well, what if you catch him like supporting the teams now? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Oh, I already got people hanging up Eagles magnets and stuff.
Ah, you're nice. Very good.
Nice work, Mike.
You're like a virus.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Let me go to, hang on. Let's go to Tim. Hi, Tim. Morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Tim. What's up, buddy?
Hey, yeah. So I have family out in North Dakota.
Yeah.
And I went there probably about 5-6 years ago. When I go out there, they go, hey, listen, try these pretzels. And that other caller got it right on the head. It was those Dots pretzels.
Dots pretzels.
From North Dakota.
Oh, huh. They're from? Yeah, so that's okay. Where they hail from. Okay.
That's where they mine them.
That's the $6 yeah. bag that Case was against?
That's the $6 bag.
Okay. And they're
I
from
came
North Dakota.
Home and I went to Wawa. It was like 6 years, and I've been trying to search for that high again, kind of. And I come back.
You're
and
chasing
Wawa,
the dragon.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I go to Wawa, and they just so magically appeared on the Wawa shelf. You can get them there.
They're is incredible. That right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, okay.
So not just Target. All right. Excellent. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
All right. So it's an 18-ounce pack, or is it an... I'm looking at these Dots pretzels right now.
You're crunching the numbers.
So each pack is 18 ounces. I don't know what a standard bag of pretzels costs. How many ounces is in a standard bag?
Is it a standard bag? Yeah.
Yeah, getting a bag of, I like the special dark pretzels from, was it Utz that makes those?
Yeah. Well, you figure 2 pounds is 16 ounces, right? So you get over 2 pounds of pretzels. That's a pound decent amount.
One pound is 16 ounces.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was thinking 8 ounces. I'm thinking cups.
Yeah.
Eight ounces in a cup.
But 1 pound of pretzels, is that a lot? I don't even know.
How many degrees in a gallon?
42.
Celsius.
A lot of people don't know that.
You know, my favorite, just like quick grab soft pretzel, like not anything fancy, is from 7-Eleven.
All right. You know what? Somebody's commenting on a 7-Eleven pretzel. Let me go to Michaela. Hi, Michaela. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yes. Hey. Sev pretzels, hands down.
Sev pretzels.
Want to ride our bikes
to
Sev?
Like in my 20s when I was bar hopping at 2 a.m., they would have pizza pretzels.
Michaela,
cut them in half, made them into pizza pretzels. They didn't. They just put it on top, the sauce and the cheese. So good.
Well, I'll tell you this. Their pretzels are good. I was always a fan of their all beef hot dogs. And you walk in and there's about 50 different things spinning slowly on those hot dog cookers.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the thing? Was it
cheeseburger roll?
Taquito? Was that there?
Taquito. Maybe that was it.
Right, yeah.
Thank you, Michaela. I wonder if Froggy has had that. They've had the nachos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they've had 7-Eleven pretzels before now. Maybe another song that they could write. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Morning, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, Dave?
Oh, nothing much. Yeah, we got the pretzels and everything. Me and my partner here, we actually had a conversation about this at work, like, last week.
Okay.
Talking about dipping sauces.
Yes.
And one of my favorites is marinara, and he says he won't even try it. He says it's on, like, an American to do.
I don't hate that. No. I don't know if I've done that, but it seems intriguing, dipping, because you would dip, like, if you had an Italian meal and you had bread, you would dip it in the marinara.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Why not?
Have, I could see, since, listen, if you're going to have a plate of pasta with some marinara on it and a baguette or something like that on the side, what's the difference between having a pretzel roll?
That's how you clean
like
the plate.
Yeah. No, Dave, your partner's out of his mind.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, have him committed. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
I'm trying to get him to try it today.
All right. Yeah. We'll do that, too.
At least try it on National Pretzel Day. If there ever was a day to sample an interesting pretzel combination, it's today.
Before you institute a 5150, get it.
Yeah. Just have him try it one more time. Okay. Going back to Kathy had mentioned the salt box. Was that you, Kath?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Let me go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Goldfinger.
Wow. He's the man. The man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch.
Oh
such a cold finger.
Look what you started, Stephanie.
So great.
Oh, my God.
What's up?
The salt box in Plumsteadville. It is just above Doylestown. They have a ribeye cheesesteak.
Wow.
On a pretzel roll or bun or something?
It's made into a sandwich with their, like, homemade soft pretzels. It's got caramelized onions, cherry wine. American.
Wow.
I'll tell you, this place is like, it takes pretzels to a whole new level. My friend who lives in Upper Black Eddy, you have to drive through Plumsteadville to get to her house. And like, it's a rule. If you're coming to her house, she wants you to stop there and pick up pretzels.
So Stephanie, are they sealed in the pretzel or are they on top of the pretzel in the sandwich form? How do they serve
these? They're within the pretzel.
That's drivable food then. Right?
They have like, so the sriracha ketchup, and they have all this. They have rosemary and mozzarella.
I think I have a little.
And provolone.
Yeah, I think I have a little pre-goo in my pants
yeah,
from that.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And several gifts. Like, you can get a selection. They're super nice local people.
Good the stuff, salt box. Yeah. So okay. I'm going to have to go online. I hope they have a website.
Yeah,
Wow.
And okay. I'm sure that they're within driving distance of the show right now.
Well, you know what? Next time I head out that way. Oh, they are. Yeah. Okay.
Right now.
Right.
Like, if they, like for example, if they left their shop right now.
Just a hypothetical. We're not suggesting anything.
Right.
Because that would not be cool that you can't do stuff like that.
Right.
Hey, let me ask you guys a personal question. When it comes to the peanut butter covered pretzel nibs, what brand is the best? Because I used to like them, and now I've been underwhelmed with every single brand that I've gotten.
I'm not a peanut butter and pretzel dude. I'm not a nib dude.
I've only gotten like the impulse buy ones that you'll sometimes see right at the register. Oh yeah, those are good. Boom, we'll grab those. Yeah. I love them. Like I can't stop eating.
I know people
them
go crazy for
once
them.
I start.
You're talking about internal or external?
Internal.
Oh, okay, so you said covered. I got confused for a second.
Like, I thought I said
peanut butter covered pretzels.
You sounded like a crazy man.
Well, I was intrigued by covered pretzels, because that's a different thing.
Yeah, like, no. The pretzels. Peanut butter pretzel nibs.
The nibs. Okay, so within the pretzel is peanut butter.
Nick, you're intrigued by the pretzel being inside something.
No. The peanut butter is inside the pretzel.
I know, right. I'm saying Nick is intrigued with when pretzel is inside something.
Because how come we got chocolate-covered pretzels but not peanut butter-covered pretzels?
Because peanut butter might not be as easily handleable, if that's a word.
I think we should try as a society.
Okay.
Well, there's got to be some sort of robotic arm that could help you eat it.
That is incorrect. Peanut butter covered pretzels, but they're okay. I'm sorry.
You could use chopsticks. You know?
Absolutely. And or pay someone who's not as grossed out by holding them to feed you those pretzels.
Right? Let me go next.
A pretzel boy, if I may.
Pretzel boy. Yeah.
Oh, this is my pretzel boy.
Ryan.
This is dumb.
Ryan, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
There's a place next to me on Route 70 in, I think it's Medford, called the Dutch Wagon.
Okay.
And I've never had their actual pretzels, but they make like the stuffed pretzels with hot dogs. They give me ham and cheese, bacon, chicken ranch. Whatever you want inside of the pretzel.
Ryan, this is a whole new, to quote Fievel, this is a whole new world because I didn't realize these places were around because this is the happiest thing because I do love the pretzel bread and then stuffed with the kind of elements you're talking about. I've got to try these.
Yeah.
I could eat them every day.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Here's one we've been ignoring. I'll go to Anna because our family's fully on board with this. Hi, Anna. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, what's up, Anna?
Nothing.
Okay. Why are you calling? Let me rephrase that.
Yeah. You guys for years.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know who makes them. I forget the name, but it's Pretzel Crisps. So they're really thin sliced crispy pretzels.
We always have them in our pantry. We are never without those.
Are they
almost
like
without those?
Pretzel chips, right? Basically? Yeah.
The cinnamon sugar, they kind of taste like the Annie Ann's pretzel.
They even have, on occasion, you can find different flavors like buffalo or everything flavored, stuff like that.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, my God. The best ones. The absolute best ones, in my humble opinion, only come out around Christmas time. They have this, and it doesn't sound like it would work, but they are white chocolate covered, and even if you don't like white chocolate, trust me on this, with little pieces of candy cane on them, have you had those, Anna?
No, and you know what? They also have the ones with the chocolate on them, too. I have to try those.
Like Moose Mix?
Like, I can't stop eating those things when they come in.
Wait, I didn't know they came like that.
They are so good. Yeah, they're in a red packaging, and it's one of the things I look forward to around the holidays.
I love those pretzel chips.
And I'm going to be eating them today.
All right. I'm going to bring some in for you guys when they come back around. I really wish
on one hand, they could have them year-round. On the other hand, I'm glad they don't because they're, you know, loaded with sugar.
Riding around in a flatbed.
But, man, we have all these options. We live pretty much in the pretzel capital of the world.
We do.
I think. Is Germany more pretzel-y than we are?
F them.
But we, again, I sound privileged, but I was in Germany on Saturday at Epcot, and their pretzel sucked ass.
Oh, their pretzel sucked ass?
It was gigantic.
But that's by choice.
And you needed to have...
Would you like an ass sucker?
Yeah. You needed to have a gallon of water just in order to eat the stupid pretzel. So,
really?
Yeah.
Was it hard or soft?
It was soft.
Okay.
It was also soft.
Well, that's too bad. Is that a picture of it right here that we're looking at?
No, I don't know what we're looking at. No, that is... I don't know what that is.
That looks pretty good.
That's a pretzel without any holes.
That's like a donut without holes. Is it?
Well, you got to turn it over to
the Basho one.
Yeah. Anyway, you have to turn it upside down.
Well, we're taking a look at this stuff, and we appreciate your calls. But today is National Pretzel Day. You can go to Philly Pretzel Factory. Free pretzel, no purchase necessary, all day long. They're planning on moving 150,000 of them today.
Wow.
Auntie Anne's has a free one, but you got to sign up for their perks and get their app. And then Wetzel's Pretzels, which is Casey's most recent discovery, they have a free original pretzel after 3 p.m. today at participating locations.
Take advantage of it.
So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. With that, let's take a break because we're going to take advantage of an opportunity that actually you'll be the one taking advantage of because we have money to give away and we have tickets to give away. There's also a really cool event coming up we're going to talk to somebody about when we return as well and the Bizarre File, too. And then after that, Jay Wright on the show.
Hey!
A lot happening today. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
The word is equal, and that is spelled E-Q-U-A-L, and we'll give you 15 minutes after the hour until then to enter it. There are three ways for you to do it. You can text the word equal to the special contest short code number, which is 45911, or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, just enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. And one random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and all MMR winners receive two free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners get a call from our company, Beasley. Make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com, and it is sponsored by AAA Distributor. So, again, the word is equal, E-Q-U-A-L. Good luck to you.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
It is brought to you this morning by Mulch Works of Aston. They offer the highest quality mulch and topsoil that's manufactured on-site. Delivery or pickup for residential and commercial markets. Visit mulchthis.com. A video was posted on Reddit Thursday that appears to show a Tesla vehicle slowly crashing into a $3.5 million private jet after being summoned by its owner using the automaker's automatic parking feature. The Reddit user said it took place at an event sponsored by aircraft manufacturer Cirrus at Feltz Field in Spokane, Washington. The smartphone video appears to capture security camera footage of the Tesla slowly crashing into and then actually pushing the Cirrus Vision Jet across the tarmac. According to the poster, the Tesla owner was using the smart summon feature that enables a Tesla vehicle to leave a parking space and navigate around obstacles to its owner. Using just the Tesla app on your smartphone, you can summon your car to you from a maximum distance of 200 feet as long as the car is within your line of sight. A Reddit user said that they also own a Tesla model, but they were not the poor soul who summoned his Tesla around several expensive aircraft, only to crash into the most expensive one.
Where was this?
This was in Spokane, Washington. Yeah, so oops. A A man has been arrested three separate times for public urination this month. His name is David Jensen. He was initially arrested on April 6th after police received a complaint of a man drinking alcohol in a public park and urinating in view of others. Officers located Jensen in a vehicle and then took him into custody. During the investigation, Jensen was found to be in possession of an open can of beer as a passenger in the vehicle. While Jensen was detained, police say that he intentionally urinated in the patrol vehicle.
Piss boy.
He was again arrested on April 14th for allegedly urinating outside a local apartment complex within view of multiple apartments. He was arrested and released. And then he was arrested again on April 15th after a police officer observed Jensen exiting a parked vehicle and urinate near a dumpster in view of the public.
He's using piss as a weapon, Preston.
When officers approached Jensen, he turned towards the officers and continued to urinate. He was charged with public lewdness. Two people found dead after a fire 2 weeks ago were accidentally electrocuted while using a potentially perilous technique for an art project.
Oh, no.
Tanya Rodriguez and James Carolfi were electrocuted while they were using a dangerous method called fractal wood burning to create art. The equipment used for fractal burning caused the electrocutions and started a fire in the garage where the two were found.
What is fractal wood burning?
I'll explain. So the fire spread to the rest of the home. An investigation found that Rodriguez and Carolfi had died before the fire. The fractal process, which uses high-voltage electricity to create designs in wood, has gained popularity on social media sites. Many of the designs look like lightning strikes. The fractal process typically uses a high-voltage transformer, often repurposed from a microwave oven, to flow current across wood items soaked with a chemical solution.
What transformer?
It looks pretty cool. We're looking at it. It looks almost Japanese in its appearance.
Some crafters use car batteries as the electrical source for fractal burning, also called the Lichtenberg process. But pretty wild that that killed them.
Killed them both.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. The Easter Bunny is representing the prosecution in several hundred Polk County criminal cases. At least that's what Iowa Courts Online, the court system's official statewide web-based repository of court records, indicates. On April 4th, the online docket sheet for hundreds of cases, primarily misdemeanors and drunken driving cases, were revised to indicate that the prosecution of those cases had been transferred from one particular assistant county attorney, Kaylee Gray, to another prosecutor in the county attorney's office by the name of Easter Santa Bunny.
Oh, wow.
Brett Lucas, magical. An assistant county attorney, said the situation stems from a recent realignment of cases within the county's attorney's office. Gray took over a colleague's cases, and Iowa Courts Online accurately reflects the transfer of those cases. But Gray's old cases, he said, were transferred to the Easter Bunny until all of the work on the digital case transfer could be completed.
So the Easter Bunny is a lawyer?
No. So what? They made up the name and they put everything in a temporary account to put all the information there. And they were going to move it once all this stuff was done with. But it was accidentally made public, and people saw that the Easter Bunny was representing them in court.
She's saying I put my cigarettes out on her. And it's a bunch of garbage.
All right, and we'll do one more story. Let's go. Wow, I got some pretty disturbing ones here. Let's end with the least disturbing one.
Yeah, please.
This. An Arby's restaurant employee in Alabama was fired and arrested after allegedly throwing hot grease at a customer on Saturday. Yeah. Officers responded to a report of an altercation between a customer and an employee. Upon arriving, they learned the worker threw hot grease at a drive-thru customer.
This is not some promotion, is it?
Not that I know of. Yes, we have the grease. The customers suffered burns and was taken to the hospital. Man. A spokesperson for the restaurant said that the employee was immediately terminated and that they are cooperating with the police. Police said that the worker was taken into custody at the scene and investigation continues. No word if any charges have been filed. I don't really know,
Jesus.
You know, if they were having an argument. Yeah. All of a sudden this guy threw grease out the window or if he knew him or any of that stuff.
Keep the grease away from the drive-through window.
Very weird. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right. We have a guest we're going to talk to quickly because there is an event that is coming up that we've been involved with for many, many years. Unfortunately, I can't be a part of it this year, but Steve Morrison is stepping up.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to host the event. It is the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event. And it is to benefit the Laurel House, which is a domestic abuse shelter and assistance program that we've had relations with for a long, long time now. And we would like to welcome the senior director of the Laurel House, Miss Tina Quincy.
Hey, hey, hey.
This morning. Hey there, Tina.
Good morning, everyone.
Nice to talk to you again, Tina. So the event is coming up quickly. It's on May 7th, correct?
It is. It's very quick. It's just about 2 weeks away. It's May 7th. We're holding it again at Pfizer in Collegeville. And we're really excited. This is our first post-COVID in-person event.
Yes. We've had to do some virtual things. And obviously, a lot of people have had to transition to that. But now we're getting back into the real deal. And if Absolutely. You're not familiar with, if you haven't heard about the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event, it's literally like it sounds. Men, actually anybody who wants to do it, but it's very fun to watch the men, put on high heels and we walk for a mile in her shoes and see what it is like. And it is a comedy of errors when you see us walking.
It's great. It's a fun time.
Yep.
I learned a while ago that I got more sensible flats for this.
I did.
Because the first time we did it, Preston, we did it on gravel.
Oh, my God.
And we are a veteran, so Preston's been at this and has really, you know, done the full heel thing. But I'm like, I would really like to finish out my life walking.
See, well, your feet kill you afterwards,
it's just
right,
astonishing.
Yes.
But there are dudes in, like, stiletto heels with rucksacks on.
And we'll run.
We'll run.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No. There are firefighters that do it in full uniform.
Yeah.
It's a really impressive event.
Yep. And we've all been a part of this for quite a while. So this is coming up on May 7th. And you need people to sign up and walk for this, right, Tina?
We do, and we definitely have a WMMR team that we created, and all the information I sent over to Nick, I believe he put it up on your community calendar this morning. But you can also visit the Laurel House website. It's www.laurel-house.org.
And I apologize that I got late to this. We had some stuff on the calendar that I can't move, and I'm not going to be able to be there, so we didn't get the team WMMR stuff set up until yesterday, and so this is only 2 weeks away, a little less than 2 weeks away, I guess. So this is the last minute, but if you can participate, we would appreciate it. We always have a great showing, great group of people come out and are part of this whole thing. And I recently toured the newest Laurel House location, which is outstanding. And it is this new building that Laurel House got from donations like yours that can help house people that are in a domestic abuse situation. And listen, there was a story I saw this morning out of Kennett Square. And this is it's a terrible story, but just to show you how important this is, it's a murder suicide, husband, wife, and a child. And they said that it was a result most likely of past domestic issues. And things like this can be avoided if people can get out of that situation and get into somewhere where people can help them get on the right track. And that's what Laurel House does. When you think you can't get out, Laurel House is there to help you and transition you into a new life.
Well, they're a beacon of hope, which is so necessary. And Preston, somebody that we all know on the show, Laurel House stepped in, had an abuse situation at home, and helped him.
Yes.
Him. Mm-hmm. People think it's just, you know, everyone. Yeah. And helped him legally, held his hand, and made sure that he was comfortable and taken care of and had options. So this is what they do.
A neighbor of mine, a man as well, same situation, and he needed help from Laurel House. They guided him on what to do in this abusive situation. So it's not just women. So I've gone from saying a women's shelter to a domestic abuse shelter because it can happen in all forms. Right, Tina?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. But, and you guys can help out with getting people on their own 2 feet to support themselves and all kinds of programs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. We definitely have the shelter piece of it, but not everybody is in need of shelter. So we have so many other supportive services like counseling, advocacy, legal representation that if anyone just gives a call to our hotline, I'll put a plug in for that. That's 1-800
642-3150. Call that 24/7. It's confidential, and we can connect you with any sort of services. Unfortunately, we saw in the last year our hotline increased 45%.
Yeah,
so
wow.
The need is definitely there.
So, well, listen, it's something to celebrate. That first off, the feel of the event is very uplifting, and it's very nice. And there's a whole bunch of fun things going on. It's Saturday morning. You'll have the rest of your afternoon and weekend to do whatever you want to do. And it's a great get-together. So if people think, you know, what's this going to be like, it is ultimately a lot of fun. And to come back strong after not being able to do it, that's great as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fun way to talk about a very serious topic. So we'll be done in and out, and you'll be ready by 11:30, 12 o'clock to start the rest of your day.
Excellent. All right, well, Tina, we'll get the word out and remind people it's coming up on May 7th. It's a fun event, and... Man, if you've always wanted to wear those high heel shoes and you want to work it.
And we will provide them. You don't have to buy your own.
Yes. That's right. They will provide the shoes, so don't worry about that. They're sexy.
I purchased my own.
They're sexy red shoes. Yes, I bought my own too. I needed them. No. Yep. All right, Tina, thank you. We love you.
All right,
and
thanks,
good
guys.
Luck with the
Take
event.
Care.
All right, so
I
yes.
Love
so
you. Thank you.
Walk a mile in her shoes. It's a great event. And thank you, Steve.
I
owe you.
No, you don't.
For stepping up and doing that. I appreciate
it. Honestly, they helped out someone that I say, Preston, watching how they stepped in into a very nervous scenario and helped calm this person and help guide them through the legal process to get them extricated and on their own. Amazing.
So join team captain, Steve Morrison. Yeah. All right, May 7th. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And we will get Jay Wright on the show when we return. Stay with us.
New on Rock Breakdown, what songs do you hear at a Red Not Chili Peppers show? Plus, Metallica's new whiskey, aged in heavy metal, and rumors of a Van Halen tribute tour. Rock Breakdown, watch it now on Instagram or WMMR.com.
Don't forget, at MMRBQ new this year, first time ever, Preston and Steve side stage.
Yes.
Lots of wonderful entertainment for you. Froggy will be our featured entertainer.
It's so cool that they're going to be part of the RBQ this year.
They're going to play a set. The Jackie Bam Bam party deck is happening, so that means Jackie's going to be spinning a set on the Wheels of Steel. And we are doing the live band karaoke with Sidearm, which means you will have performed at the MMRBQ, quite possibly. And to audition for a slot, you need to post a video of you singing a song from a list that we have on the Preston and Steve side stage page at WMMR.com. And then you use the hashtag MMRBQ when you post the video to your social media account. We are eventually going to go through these.
Yes.
We're going to narrow it down to 10 singers. We will choose you. Not only will you get to come and sing a song with the band side stage, but you also get 4 RBQ tickets as well.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yes.
Yeah. It's something interesting. It makes you into the star for a little bit there. So,
with a real band.
Complete details at WMMR.com. So we are excited about that. All right. Like everyone else, we were quite shocked that our next guest made the announcement that he did last week. But sure enough, he did it and followed up with a press conference. And we understand why he didn't respond to any of Nick's text messages.
And he did apologize during the press conference.
He did apologize at the press conference, which was huge. But we love him to death. He's helped out all these years at Camp Out for Hunger. And anytime we need to talk to him, he's right there. Ready to go. Please welcome Jay Wright.
Hey!
To the show this morning.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jay.
Hello, guys. Good to talk to you. And I can apologize to Nick publicly on already. I went to the mattresses, man. I was underground.
Oh, I'm sure, man. When that went public, I mean, did you just turn your phone off and walk away from it? Because it had to have just been vibrating nonstop.
You know what? We wanted to get through our banquet, which was Thursday night, so we could have the banquet. It would be about the players and the team and the season and not about the retirement. And then the next day, try to announce it. Mm-hmm. But it got out. And you know, once something goes on social media, it's over. So then we were just trying to get our team together so we could get to them and our recruits before it was really confirmed. So that's when I really had a good 2 days there, man. I shut everything down.
Yeah.
So they didn't the players didn't know yet?
No, because we didn't, you know, we the next head coach, Nick, Kyle Neptune in place, and then make sure that we were able to get the whole staff on board and signed up, say to them, look, I'm retiring. Everybody's staying. We got everything in place. Coach Neptune's coming in. They all know him. He was with us for 10 years. So we're trying to put that all together. So, you know, an 18 and 20-year-old didn't get like, wait a minute, the coach is leaving? What the hell is going on? So we were trying to put all that. That takes some work and some time. So we were at least able to pull that off for him when we did tell them.
Well, I was just very happy. It was so abrupt, Coach, that I was just very happy in the follow-up that there wasn't some other story that came along with it. You know, God forbid someone was sick or something personal in your life that was traumatic that took place. So I'm therefore very happy for you that you're moving on in this chapter in your life. But did people voice concern right away as well, going, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah, I got a lot of calls. I texted. I hope this is your decision. I think some people thought I got fired too. Like, I hope this is your decision. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope you're okay. Yeah. I tried to, when we did our press conference, tried to make that initially apparent. Everything's good. I just, you know, you just know. And you guys have done this. And when I see people do like what you guys do, what amazes me. To have the success you do, that's talent, right? And then there comes some work ethic to keep it going. But then there comes like an amazing amount of energy and creativity to keep it going this long. And you guys do an incredible job. And I think people that listen to you feel like, well, yeah, that's what they do. That's easy. It's not. The longer you do it, it's harder. And that's okay. Like, it's not, you know, you guys don't complain about it. We don't complain about it. That's what was kind of happened to me. Like, I kind of felt like this year I wasn't the guy that was bringing the energy, you know, like, how can Steve be that crazy every day? I was feeling like, you know, I was always the guy, regardless of how young our players are, assistant coaches, I was the guy that was bringing the energy to every meeting, to every practice, to every game day. And I felt it this year, like, you know, I'm not the guy. I got to pick myself up. And you got to think about succession. I knew this was a good year that I could keep everybody on staff, get one of our guys in here, and keep it consistent for the players. So that combination made me know it was the right time.
Okay.
Jay, I don't know how much you like reading about you, but I've read a lot about you over the last few days. And one article that sticks out is John Feinstein wrote it for the Washington Post. And he talked a lot about your career and what you've given back. But he also told some funny stories, one including Raleigh Massimino coming out of retirement and coaching in Florida at one point. And I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about Raleigh, and I was also thinking about Fran Dunphy, because Fran was retired for a little bit and now is coming back and is going to coach at LaSalle. So you are young, and I know that there's no real answer to this question, but are there open possibilities in your future? Is it something where you would consider coming back at some point, or do you not want to even answer that question at this point?
No, let's talk about this, Nick, first. Think about how much work Fran Dunphy has to do to get back in shape for Coaches versus Cancer shootout.
Yeah, he is a mess.
Think about it.
It's pretty messed up. Yeah.
I mean, there's some pressure taking over the LaSalle job, but you got to come in and shoot against these young coaches now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was a big decision for him when he had to decide if he's coming back.
Yeah.
Which also added to my retirement, too. Like, I have just been poor in my performance the last 2 years. I could see it waning, and I thought, if I come back again with another poor performance, you know, at the shootout, the Papa Shot shootout, it was been like 5 years since I won it. It's a disgrace.
It's not a disgrace. I mean, the competition is really, really tough out there.
Is.
But, you know, I
it
think
is,
it's great.
High level. High level.
But now I think it's great that you are still staying with Villanova in some capacity. And I think it's awesome that you're staying on as an ambassador for the Papa Shot Challenge. I think that is really, really cool that you're going to be an ambassador.
Are you offering me a position?
Yes.
I think we should.
We could use a commissioner.
This is officially the offer.
Yes.
And we're going to pay you double what we paid you all these other years.
So, like, zero times two.
We did have to amend my contract at Villanova. Obviously, I'm not getting paid like I was as the head coach. So
right.
We're going to have to also renegotiate for the Papa Shot Challenge. That's going to have to be something I'll get my agent.
Your agent.
Who do I speak to there? Is it Nick? Do you handle that?
His name is Gary Lauer.
Hey, Jay, though, speaking of that, so what is, it's kind of been broad, or at least what I read, what is your involvement at the university going to be?
You know, I work with the president and the athletic director and on fundraising, on some mission ideas about for the university. And going forward, college athletics is so different now. Just going forward, helping with the navigation of NIL, transfer portal, you know, even working with our women's program. We had a great Denise Dillon, a great young coach who's done it. They went to the NCAA tournament this year, beat UConn. So we got a lot of great things going at the university, and which I was involved with, but I was like a little, just, you know, I was so focused on our basketball and our recruiting, and I was like dip my toe in the water a little bit, but this way I can be a lot more involved.
Well, the thing that always rang true and clear to everyone who follows you is that, okay, these are young men who play basketball, but the end result for you, the win, would be turning out, you know, productive members of society and people who were engaged and wanted to go out and do good things for the community and for the world in general, and just to have fulfillment beyond the sport. With this additional, with this shift now, you'll be presented that opportunity. It's been a passion of yours. You must be reeling at the opportunities ahead of you.
Yeah, you're right, Steve. Probably what we are most proud of is our guys have all graduated. Even the guys that have gone on to the NBA, just the way they conduct themselves, how professional they are, and all the other guys that are successful in business and good fathers and husbands like that. That is really that's what we got into it for, you know, when we started coaching. And I'm really looking forward to like getting to work with the other students on campus, maybe some of this working on a business career or a pre-med career, just getting to know them. I would get so much tunnel vision, you know, in the past 3 or 4, maybe 5 years with basketball. The jobs has gotten so big. I didn't get out on campus and see professors as much and the other students. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You can probably enjoy life a little bit more, too. And specifically, I'm thinking about the NBA playoffs. You got Jalen playing for Dallas, right? You got Mikal Bridges for Phoenix. Dante's still in it, right, with Milwaukee. And the Sixers are an interesting situation right now. Yeah. But it's got to be fun for you to be able to, like, kind of sit back and watch the NBA playoffs as a fan.
It is, Nick. I can admit now that, you know, I'm not doing it. Like, I was so obsessed, like such a lunatic. Like I'd be sitting in mass and the priest would be giving a homily, and if they say something I thought was good for one of our players, I'd get my phone out, I'd be texting all my players, my wife would grab me, like, get the phone out. You know, it was Christmas night, I'd be texting recruits sitting around, you know, hiding my phone from my wife, texting recruits, and it was just 24/7 every single day. Even if I, like you said, if I watched, even when we were with you guys, you know, we'd be backstage. Like I'm texting recruits. I'm calling back to the office. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. But now that I'm not doing it, it's like, holy geez, there's a whole world out there.
Yeah. No, it's true. And the thing that just resonates clearly is that, you know, you have held yourself to a high standard. That not many people could achieve. And once your explanation of you didn't feel that you were bringing it on that level that you wanted to bring it on, and then also knowing that what your players deserved and what everyone in general, I mean, that is a bit of a self-sacrifice because you love it. But yes, it makes perfect sense. We all understand that you want to potentially find something that can engage and relight that fire the way you had it at the beginning of all. It's not to say that you were phoning it in or that there had been a tremendous drop in your enthusiasm, but you sense it. You know you. And now you have opportunities to explore these other things. But to Nick's point, is there something that you say, okay, I've been waiting forever and I'm finally going to get the chance? Something extravagant, frivolous,
you know, our, I don't know.
A post-announcement trip or something?
RuPaul's Drag Race.
You know what? And Nick, I apologize. I didn't answer your question. I didn't mean to skip that. I am fortunate that I take this year, work at the university, and then really, I didn't have a plan. Like, I didn't know when this was going to hit me. Like, I was just taking each year and just, I had great plans for our program. Know, planned out years in advance, our roster, recruiting, fundraising, facilities. I never thought about putting myself in that. You know what I mean? Like, I was just going every year. So I didn't have a plan going forward. So I'm really like looking at this year saying nothing will ever replace coaching at Villanova at the highest level. It's nothing's going to replace that. Right. So I'm not even thinking about, but I'm going to see like what does excite me. I'll tell you one thing that, you know, like I think Preston was saying, like a post trip. I love the Jersey Shore, but even when I was at the Jersey Shore, you know, I would literally be on the beach. I'd say to my wife, I'm going to go back and go to the bathroom. I'd be back calling the post
check. Oh my God.
I was out of my mind. I'm really looking forward, like hopefully being at the beach this summer and like just chilling and like staying, you know, on the beach till 5:30, 6, 7, having a beer, Manco pizza, like not having. I'm always thinking like, I gotta get back. I got it tomorrow morning. I gotta be here. I gotta catch a play here. I'm really looking forward to that. I don't know how long that'll last.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I mean,
I'm looking forward to it.
We, I don't turn my phone off ever, and I can listen. I don't coach at a D1 level, and so it's not like that, but. But it's a lot of times impossible for me to turn it off because it's, you know, I love what I do. And that's the other part of it. But, you know, I had taken a trip a few years back where I was in an area for 8 days that had zero cell phone coverage. And so that was taken away from me. And it was the most relaxing week of my entire life. And I had no choice but to relax. So I hope for you that you are able to unplug and do that, because it really is just a zen experience. And I'm interested to find out where, because with Krzyzewski retiring and announcing his retirement, you know, prior to March Madness and all this sort of stuff, there was a giant, you know, pop and circumstance leading up to everything. His last game against North Carolina, and then the Final Four, and right. All that, and so when you saw that, was that, did that inform your decision to go internal with your decision?
You know what, that's interesting. I was watching that, and at that point when he made his announcement, I thought, wow, this is really smart, because they have their next coach in line, so they can continue recruiting. This was a good move. And as I saw the season unfolding, I still hadn't really decided I was going to do it. I would think about it a lot. But once I knew, like, towards the end of the year, I was in the regular season, I was definitely going to do it, I thought to myself, you know what, thank God, I'm not going to say anything, because I want this season to be about Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Samuels. I didn't know how far the team was going to go, but Patty and I decided, okay, we're doing this. And what was so cool was from that point, like, we're at Madison Square Garden, we win the Big East tournament, and we love Madison Square Garden, we love New York, and we're like, she comes out, okay, we look at each other like, can you believe this? Like, I can't say what we really said. We're like, like, we knew, you know, like, this is our last time at the Garden that we're winning this, and then the NCAA tournament is going on, and we're like, you know, we knew we were holding it in, and we're going to the Final Four, we're looking at each other like, this. You know, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we really got to enjoy it. And even the last game against Kansas, like, you're playing in the Final Four, and you know, like, this is going to be your last time, and man, it's in front of 90,000 people. It's the Final Four. Like, we're so blessed. We really, really got to enjoy it, and we were so happy that it was all about the players and what they did this season. So that it worked out really well for us. And then the last piece we had to do was be able to get our coach in place and not affect our recruiting, which we've done a good job of. All our recruits are staying, our players are staying, and our whole staff is staying. And as you guys know, like, you know, to keep your staff together is the most important thing to you because they're the ones that have lived with you all the time.
Everything.
And that's what we're really happy for.
Yep.
There would be something that would be awesome. I don't know if you'd want to do it, but since you have this reputation for being so nattily dressed all the time, if you could make your new look Crocs, jorts, a wife beater, and a bucket hat.
Yeah.
Bucket hat. That would be...
I mean, he's got some beach time coming.
Just for a while.
If you really want to get people talking.
If you want to get people talking, again, Crocs, jorts, wife beater, and bucket hat.
Hey, I can't even say, Steve, I can't even say that word if I went back to when I said it word.
But could you imagine the press, Jay, about, oh, my God, he's wrong. What's wrong?
Hey, does your wife?
I do that down the shore. Like, I think that I have a good look down the shore with my flip-flops, hat on backwards, T-shirt, short, and my wife. You know, people see me down there like, oh, my coach, where's the suit? I'm like, I'm on the beach.
Where's your beach suit?
Hey, but do you credit your wife? Like, does she pick your suits?
No, I do it. She laughs at me. It's towards the end when, like, coaches would get more casual. She'd be like, you look like Connie Mack. You know, that old manager used to wear a suit and tie when everyone else wore the baseball uniform. She's like, you're, like, way overdressed.
Oh, my God.
She's always been a proponent of the way we dress now with the casual look.
All right, yeah. If you get the idea that you may want to try that, just let us know in advance because we're going to want to have a photography staff out there.
Jay, I'm sure people have asked you, but down the road a bit, if you do find yourself getting a tad bit antsy and want another side of things, had broadcasting ever been a consideration for you?
I think about it. I do. I worry like if you have to like be critical of other coaches because my whole career when I'm doing that now I hear other coaches on air criticizing coaches. What's interesting is you know what they're saying is they know the reason why the coach is doing what he's doing. But they don't say it because they want to say something that makes themselves sound smart.
Right.
And as a coach that's coaching, you're like, come on, man. You know. So I don't know if I would be good at that.
Okay.
But I definitely couldn't do radio. I couldn't talk as much as you guys do, come up with so much creative stuff all day. And continue talking. That always amazes me.
Well, you just remember... Don't be too knowledgeable about anything, and it'll work in your favor.
Yeah.
just that for how many years?
Yeah. Oh, the phrases to know are, I don't know, maybe. Yeah. I'm probably wrong, but
I think. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're happy for you. We're not happy of the situation, but we fully understand, and we're happy that you. Somebody who we've had a relationship for a number of years now and feel we have a pretty good beat on as a great person is doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
With the intentions of the institution in mind as well to make sure that they're getting the proper guidance as well. It all fits.
It's
good. So we're happy for you, Jay, and we hope that... I'm sure we'll find reasons to call you up and bug you in the morning for one reason or another.
You got it. And I love you guys, and I really respect you. Obviously, if you see what I just did, I really respect what you guys do. Keep it going, man. You got great energy, great enthusiasm, and I love being a part of the show.
All right, we love you, Coach. Yes. Enjoy your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jay Wright, guys. Right. Take care. We'll see you. Oh my God. So and there it goes. It is so in his character to say, man. I don't really have the fire anymore. They deserve better than this.
Yeah. A guy who took him to the Final Four.
This season.
Yes. Jay Wright, like, diminished fire gets you, the Final Four. But he knows in his heart, and I respect that a great deal. He did a self-assessment and said, yes, but I could be giving more. And they are owed somebody who is there. Mm-hmm. And to do that is the ultimate, selfless act.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw out the first pitch at the Phils game the other day, and the Phillies invited him to do so, which was, kind and a cool gesture. But he made sure that Kyle Neptune was also a part of that ceremony. He appreciated the offer. He came down, he threw out the first pitch, but he didn't want to be the only one there on the mound doing that. He wanted to make sure that the spotlight was also on the next coach at Villanova. And that's just who Jay is. It's all class.
Who rang the bell last night's Sixers game?
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't see.
Yeah, I think he should be ringing the bell.
Oh, yeah.
Soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
They could use it.
Yeah, well, the last couple, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he can suit up, too.
Right.
And now, back for an exciting evening.
Is your Matt Cord making an announcement?
Oh, my God.
In Crocs, jorts, and a bucket hat.
I love the idea of that. Crocs, jorts, wife beater, bucket hat.
Uh-huh. Oh,
that's a look. Imagine, right there, man.
You know, it's like this. Right. It's like the clickbait. You won't believe how they look now.
Yeah. What happened?
What happened?
Once a star, yeah. And now look at him.
We can use Jay as our clickbait for people who go to PrestonandSteve.com.
Right, right, right.
That's
when we
a
have
great
a
idea.
Contest that's not getting a good response.
Yeah. You won't believe what he said.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay Wright looked like this years ago. Yeah. Wait till you see him now.
Yeah. All right. Listen, real quick, mystery caller on the line following that up. I believe we have Tammy. Hey there, Tammy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, we were just talking to Jay Wright. He just retired. Big thing happening in his life. What's the big thing happening in your life, Tammy?
I just won $500.
Yeah! 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 MMR's Concert Cash.
That's amazing.
And on top of that, Tammy also gets tickets to the MMR BBQ, which
excellent.
Is a pretty sweet deal. Where are you from, Tammy?
Mount Holly, New Jersey.
Mount Holly, New Jersey. She's a Jersey gal. I love it. And Tammy, have you been out to our MMR BBQ before?
I have several times. Yes, it's a favorite of mine to go to.
Now you're going basically gratis.
Yeah,
and $500. Maybe you can retire now.
Maybe we know you can at least afford parking.
Yes,
when
parking
you go and a couple of beverages. Yeah.
If not for life that afternoon,
right? Exactly. Excellent. Well, Tammy, that's great. You feeling pretty good about it?
I am. Today's a fabulous day.
Yeah. Excellent.
Good for you. Excellent. Tammy, we're very happy for you, and we will see you at the MM Barbecue, all right?
See you there. Thank you guys
right.
so much.
Congratulations, Tammy. Yeah. Mount Holly, New Jersey, a winner. MMR's Concert Cash is just getting started, too. That's our first one. We're going to get to another one in less than an hour, so don't miss the opportunity. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-A-Thon Bridge to the Beach. Celebrating 50 years of riding for a world without cancer.
Hey, it's Marcus. Join me and Team WMMR on Sunday, June 12th for this family-friendly ride to save lives. We'll start by crossing the Ben Franklin Bridge. Whether you ride to honor a loved one or in memory of someone you've lost, you ride for them and with them each and every mile. All Team WMMR riders get the official Team WMMR t-shirt courtesy of Wilson's Secret Sauce in Upper Darby.
The ACS Bike-A-Thon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
A reminder, we are doing it again. It's the official opening of the Jersey Shore. We are headed to Keenan's in North Wildwood, the Irish pub. And yeah, you're invited. You're at least 21 years of age. You are invited. And, in fact, you could end up in kind of a VIP situation. We have a very special section where you're not going to have to wait in line, and then you don't have to worry about, you know, people taking your seats. In fact, it's like, what seats, you know, in Keenan's? But you have a place that you can park and everything for your butt, that is, not
yes.
your car.
Yeah.
So it's all sponsored by Coors Light, of course, the official opening of the Jersey Shore. But we're doing what's called the Countdown to Keenan's. And all you have to do is enter online. You go to Keenan's event page, WMMR.com, and upload a photo of one of your favorite moments from one of your previous Keenan's events that you've been to. Eggs with Peg, obviously.
Right.
But any of those contests we do and stuff like that, and you'll be in the running. Now, if you don't have any pictures, you've never been, don't worry. We're going to give some away on air. We'll start this Friday with your chance to win. So that is going to be Friday, May 27th. And we'll be good to go.
So, you know, obviously how expansive Keenan's is, taking up the whole block. But right now, and as of last year, it's actually the block as well. It's the street is yeah. part of the whole celebration.
Yeah, so. They've closed down the street that passes by. It's
Old New Jersey Avenue.
Yep, yeah. And so you can hang out. You can have, I think, alcohol on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalks.
Yeah. But not on the road.
But it gives you more breathing room, and it also gives us more screwing around room.
Stuff to play with. So we're working on that. We're actually going to talk about that today.
It is going to be a party.
It shall be a party. We're looking forward to it. All right, so as much as we do plan on this show, some things we don't really plan. So I just realized now that I'm going to do the stream of consciousness now.
Yes! Oh, the stream of consciousness.
Oh, you had the music handy. I did not know that. The stream of consciousness nerve.
Our most recent addition to the roster.
Yes,
the stream of consciousness nerve is what you would imagine.
So we mentioned Keenan's and North Wildwood, and let's stay in New Jersey for this story. New Jersey voters, of course, called for marijuana legalization in 2020. Now, the government officially signed off on the start of legal recreational cannabis sales for adults. It was last week.
It had sort of a lackluster reception.
Oh, my God, man. The lines around the buildings that I saw aerial footage of a couple of places. And I mean, people down and around the block. It's a lot like going to Keenan's for our official opening of the Jersey Shore. But obviously, the people that have been waiting for this to happen were quite excited to get out and partake. So you can buy cannabis flower, concentrate, ingestible forms of cannabis that aren't food and drops or syrups, but you can't buy edibles, specifically any cannabis product resembling food.
Why is that always like the one thing you can't do?
It's the same way in Pennsylvania as well. It's not the same way everywhere, but I think the main reason in this article that Steve had sent to me is because if it looks like food and you can't clearly determine that it is something other than food or there is a psychoactive ingredient in it, there's a potential that someone could accidentally ingest it, including children. So that's a main concern, especially ones that are like gummy bears.
Or brownies.
And brownies and things like that, or that look like candy.
So let me ask you, and I don't know the general take on this, but are the, and we talked about this, and people that I know who do use, or not, I don't want to say, make it sound like a hardcore
those
drug
users.
Addict. But, that the current strains and things are much more potent, and that the gummy stuff is even, the edibles are even more potent. Is that correct?
It's not necessarily that it's potent. It's how much you take of it. Okay,
so I gotcha.
And that is where, and we've got a, I knew she was going to be calling, a marijuana expert. But anyhow, it depends on how much, and that's why with things that, and I'm just fairly new to edibles, you have to sample a little first and see where it takes you and then go from there. And then there are different kinds too, so you can get, like in pill form or tincture form or oils in Pennsylvania, they react different than the quote-unquote edibles do as far as, at least what I've found, the amount of time before you feel that sensation, okay? So
that could throw you off.
The edibles go quicker.
Right.
I've found like 15 minutes, maybe 20, 30 minutes at tops, whereas some of these ingestible, these pills and tinctures and stuff like that can take as much as an hour to an hour and a half.
All right.
So, which can be inconvenient. If you're going to go into surgery or whatever it may be. Anyhow, that's a concern, or at least the fact that they look like this. So let's go to, we're going to go to Heather. She's, anytime you even say Mara, she's on the phone. Don't even finish a marijuana. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
I'm sorry. I was just looking at a pot leaf. It's so pretty.
I'm sure. All right. So, your take on this, Heather?
I'm just going to apologize ahead of time. I have a wonky wire on the phone in the house, so I apologize.
We won't penalize you.
My thing is that I am, like, over the moon with this, but I still want to let people know, and this is only as a patient I speak of this, not because I work for a company that we certify in Jersey and Pennsylvania, but I implore people, look at the benefits of getting your medical marijuana card. And I only say this because if you have your card, the New Jersey dispensaries are going to make sure the medical patients are put first. And as a patient, I appreciate that because I've never used recreationally. And my thing is, it's cheaper to have your card because of the cost and the lower taxes, and also just more of a selection. And Preston, I don't mean to correct you, but tinctures, anything you put under the tongue, or even a distillate syringe, liquidy type thing, you know, my mind's all over the place. So the thing is, with that is quicker. That might be 10 to 15 minutes. If you are digesting something that has to go through your system, like an edible, they have RSO, which is Rick Simpson oil, and then they have capsules. Those take longer. I sat and I timed it 1 hour, 40 minutes for myself.
Wow. It's almost 2 hours.
I've done my own testing as well, Heather, and respectfully, I say it doesn't work that way for me. The tinctures,
yes,
the tinctures took just as long or longer.
And I've spoke to my dispensary about it, and you know, we had a discussion about it. So
yes, and Preston, I apologize. Everyone's endocannabinoid system, which we're all born with, is different. Mm-hmm. So
can you put it in pretzels?
It is National Pretzel
Day. I will
day.
Make some edible pretzels for you guys.
That's all I need.
Right?
Yeah, right? I'm king of the world!
Right. But anyhow, yeah, so the question here was why, Heather, you know, a hesitancy on states like Pennsylvania and New Jersey to offer edibles for purchase.
I'm not an expert, but I'm just going to put this out there. As long as the companies are making pills and lining pockets of certain people, there will not be recreational unless we just speak up as patients, as consumers, for our loved ones, for ourselves, for everyone else that needs to live the life that they deserve and be pain-free and not be so depressed and enjoy life and live and just and you guys know what I just went through, so yeah. Just, you know, do this and live for yourself.
Well, it depends upon the person. It may not be right for you. You right. have to find these things out for yourself,
no,
so that's it. Yes.
I'm not preaching. I am absolutely not preaching.
Okay.
If it's not for you, that's great. Yeah. And I thank you guys for your time. Keep doing what you're doing. I love you all.
I love you.
We love you, too. We appreciate the call. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it is not for me. It's
right.
just
it's not for me.
Not for me.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. and I get that.
I'm a ragtop guy.
It's for other people, but for whatever reason, it's just not something that, you know, helps me in any way.
It's funny, the whole realm of this thing. And again, as I said before, when my mother was going through pain from cancer, the one thing that alleviated that pain was pot. So, you know, I understand.
Some people, it's exactly what they need.
Yep.
Other people, nope.
It has no interest to me.
Not for you. So
being drunk has no interest to me.
Yep. So whether it be medical or
that's where she draws the line.
Or recreational.
Well, tap your brakes.
I think
Margarita.
Right. Yeah. National Margarita Tour. I think the one thing that's really encouraging to me is that slowly but surely the stigma is disappearing. You know, people are recognizing that there is value for individuals. Not everybody. You're right. It's not for everyone. But like the fact that. You know, this cast that was put upon people that if you smoke marijuana, you're a dopehead, you're an idiot, you're a dropout. I think that's slowly disappearing, and people are recognizing the value inherent.
It facilitates the next great quest, which is to normalize Elvis impersonators.
Right. You know, for too long, Steve.
Too long. You know. So there will be Elvis dispensaries.
Sorry. You know. All right, my mind is wandering. Let me go elsewhere.
Stream of consciousness nerd.
General Motors President Mark Rees announced yesterday that they will produce fully electric versions of the classic Chevrolet Corvette, sharing the news in a LinkedIn post. Rees didn't say when the electric Corvette would be available, but suggested a hybrid model of the sports car would be out relatively soon.
You know what? And this is something that I thought, thinking about this, Preston. I know you have a hybrid, I thought there would be a hybrid stage that was more pronounced. It seems like hybrids came in and then were kind of pushed aside quickly for full electric. And I think they're both cool, but I think you might have, like, people might have adapted earlier or been more interested because the hybrid gives you both options, correct?
Right. Yeah. We like ours. I mean, it's at certain speeds it's electric, and other speeds it's using the full gas motor.
When it shifts into that mode, does the electric slide play?
It does. Yeah. That's exactly what it should do. Oh my God, that'd be perfect. But he wrote, "We will offer an electrified Corvette as early as next year."
It looks pretty good.
And
we're in electric mode now.
And an accompanying video on Twitter showed what appeared to be a hybrid Corvette. Looks pretty badass.
It does.
Electrified can mean everything from hybrid to full electric vehicles. CNN writes that most all electric vehicles in production so far have been sedans and SUVs, as having batteries lends itself to a larger and heavier vehicles. That's part of the thing you have to remember.
They're very heavy.
Is that the batteries carry a lot of weight.
Quick question. At this point, would it be wise to look into pot-fueled cars?
Ooh.
Depending on the price of gas.
Legal and everything. Legal. Yeah, maybe.
Isn't Willie Nelson's bus vegetable oil, I think?
Yes, absolutely.
Preston, let me ask...
Snoop Dogg?
From Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young. Neil Young?
Yeah. And Neil's always at the forefront of that kind of thing.
Right.
Preston, I want to ask you a Corvette-related question, because I know you had one for a stretch and you loved it. Something that I've noticed about Corvettes is they used to have their own look that seemed to me to be very Corvette-centric.
Yeah.
And now I think they're really cool-looking. They don't just look, to me, they don't look like they're their own brand of car anymore. They look
they
more like a Ferrari.
That's why I didn't prefer when the new model came out. I had a C6 model, and when the next one came out, I was like, wow, they're really following in that supercar kind of stereotypical look of Lambos and things. And those are great looking cars.
Right.
They're really intense looking cars. But I didn't think that it was. I don't think it had that vet originality, Nick. I agree with you 100%. And I'm sure people are driving them and loving them. And
of
you
course.
Should. And you
yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
should. But for me personally, I thought it went a little too far away from that signature Corvette style.
What was your favorite era of the era of the
The 1965 Stingray? Mm-hmm. I always thought was pretty amazing.
It's a sleek looking car.
We're looking at 63 to 67, so that would have been, I guess, the C2 series. And then I liked mine. I liked the C6 an awful lot.
What's the one that Otter drives in the Animal House? Is that a 62?
Did he have a vet?
He did, yeah. And I believe it's a Stingray. It's got it's cherry red, and then it's got the white side panels.
Oh, no. That's like 63.
Okay.
Around that time. Yeah, I know. It's that classic, really early, one of the very first vet models. Love those. That red and white. A friend of mine's dad had one. I got to drive. It was pretty cool.
What did James Dean die in? What did
he
say?
He was in a Spider.
Spider.
It was a Porsche
right,
Spider, yeah. Nick. Now, I don't know 100%. It might have been like 59 to 62 or something like that.
Okay.
That series
if
was.
If I won the lottery, I would buy that car.
Sexy car,
yeah.
Man. And Arnold drives that in where Bill Paxton is the used car dealer. And he goes.
True Lies?
Yes. True Lies, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
You got a small.
Yeah, I know why you got this car. I can't say why, but. But, yeah, I think they've gotten away from it. I think they've gotten away from that kind of curvier, sexy look. But, you know.
Bring back the K car.
I thought it might have a K car. Oh, my God.
A nice, reliant automobile.
But
it's economical and it's not obtrusive.
Of course,
something you regret driving.
Several companies are working on electric sports cars as well. So yeah. So you're going to start to see them be, you know, coupes and so on in the very near future.
The K car, was that the Dodge Omni Plymouth Horizon or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know.
Okay.
It was called the K car, right?
The K car. Yeah, it was called the K car.
That's the. Okay.
I think it's a picture of it up on
Chrysler K car. Okay, that's what that is. Okay.
It was gorgeous.
GM says it plans to produce only zero emission vehicles by 2035. So they say GM is going all electric. Wow. Or
it's
zero
electric.
Emission. It is electric, man. All right. Let me see. I need to.
FEMA consciousness there.
Yes. Find somewhere else. So this is an interesting story. Barnes & Noble was once seen by many book lovers, writers, and independent booksellers as the villain that crushed small chains and independent stores. But now those same people are rooting for its success. There was a New York Times article that said it's because Barnes & Noble is now seen as a bulwark against Amazon, which sells more books than any others in the industry.
Lest we forget... excuse me, I always get emotional when I talk about this.
No,
lest we forget that Amazon... initially was a book seller. That's what they did.
So it's also in part because browsing in a Barnes & Noble allows discovery of books, accidental finds that you come across that you weren't looking for, and is something that Amazon has a hard time doing.
Actually, near me growing up, there was a Borders. And I
remember Borders.
I preferred Borders over Barnes & Noble big time.
I've been surprised lately. My son, who's going to college, has been meeting with friends a lot lately at Barnes & Noble for, like, study groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, he's done it two or three times now. I'm like, wow, Barnes & Noble, you're going there. I remember there was a time when that was the regular thing to do before Amazon became so big, is you would go into Barnes & Noble and you could hang out and have some coffee and read some books and look for things.
Or do research.
And so I think after reading this article and seeing that with my son more regularly, that it's kind of coming back around.
Well, it's cool.
I like that.
Yes. A lot of them have cafes in it, too.
Yeah. Well, the one in the Chemical Road Metroplex, that has a, that's a Barnes & Noble, right?
It's got a Starbucks in
there. It's got a Starbucks in there.
Okay. I worked at the one in
Devon. It's not Starbucks, though.
It's not?
It's a Sturbix.
Oh, no, you're right.
It's not Sturbix.
It's
not quite Starbucks. It's Sturbix.
Sturbix, yeah. Yeah, I worked at the Barnes & Noble in Devon, where it used to be the Valley Forge Music Fair, and it was a good job. I thought when I got the job... that I was just going to be sitting around reading books all day. It turns out you have to do stuff.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah.
What made Borders a little bit different, Case? Because I never really went to Borders.
So for me, the Borders that I went to was huge, first of all. It was a giant store, but they also had a separate music section that you could go and, I mean, CDs, albums, cassettes, and all that sort of stuff.
I think they did that first. I think Barnes & Noble responded to Borders doing it because Borders did it successfully, and they realized, Barnes & Noble realized that they could do it as well, and so eventually they followed suit.
And it was just bigger, and it was a cooler place, and I would hang there.
Always the most extensive magazine racks, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, they had pretty much everything you were looking for. In addition, it says that Barnes & Noble's 600 locations provide a key place for authors to sign their books. And their larger sizes allow them to stock and display a lot more titles. Barnes & Noble has been doing well under CEO James Daunt, who took over in 2019. The Times said that even with the pandemic closures, sales were up 3% in 2021 over 2019.
How does their online presence do?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because they do have it.
Yeah. Book sales specifically were up 14% at the Barnes & Noble. So it's kind of coming back around.
It's funny because if I get, like if I listen to a book on Audible and I like it, or because I listen to a lot of history and nonfiction, I end up buying the book because I just want a copy of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something
that really
copy?
Blows me away. Just to sort of display, you can't, unless I buy little phones and leave it on the page with the, you know.
Yeah, I like the books that I've read, the physical books. I keep them on a bookshelf. I like the
it's
way I think
nice.
I think aesthetically they look nice. And
it's also like it's kind of a here's what I'm into.
Yeah,
I haven't the German porn.
It's kind of, but it is kind of a snapshot of who you are. I haven't picked one up in a long time because I'm mainly doing just the audiobooks now. It's just more convenient.
So sometimes I'll get, and if it's something that I just want to remember, commit to memory, it's some biography or whatever, I'll even get a highlighter and do that, and then completely forget that I highlighted the book and completely forget where the book is.
Right. Yep. But it's a fun exercise.
And then I go back to my Audible book.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's see. What else? Stream of consciousness nerd.
Really, perhaps the most human and relatable of your characters.
Let's talk about long nails. Okay, so long. Yes, I thought that would bring Kathy back around. I try to sort these out so every three stories we bring Kathy in.
Right. Coming soon, succulents.
Long nails might make a statement, but they also might expose you to some nasty microorganisms.
Oh. Disgusting.
That's why I just cut my nails.
Oh my God.
I usually have like a nice. Is a French manicure your usual?
I'm sorry, say that again.
You'll do a French manicure periodically, yes?
No, not a French manicure, but just like a, you know, like a color, or like sometimes I'll throw a design on there, but they were very long, and the amount of dirt that got under the nails was kind of gross, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to cut them.
All right, probably a good call, because the American University researchers found whether nails were artificial, long natural nails, gel nails, acrylic nails, or just nail polish, long nails increase the probability that microorganisms poop. Lurk underneath them.
That's what we're talking. We're talking poop.
And I'm prepping my, my beds and gardening and all of that for the spring season. And so long nails with all of that, I was like, eh.
Kathy, the uber long nails and the uber sharp nails are also in. Like if you see the Batman, Catwoman, Zoe Kravitz has. I mean, obviously she's cat-ish, but she's got what are currently very stylish nails.
But they're saying it makes it difficult to wash off with simple hand washing. It doesn't get it done
like a belt sander.
The researcher Jeffrey Kaplan said, "The longer the nail, the more surface area there is for microorganisms to adhere."
Thanks, Jeffrey. You can go home now.
studies have found 32 different bacteria and 28 different fungi underneath fingernails.
Fungi.
And he adds that one study found an antibiotic-resistant bacteria, MRSA, in half fingernail samples.
So wasn't this a big deal with nail salons, that the way that they take precautions against diseases and stuff like that, right? There was
you don't ever want to go to a nail salon and get a fungus on your nails. Like, I think that's pretty common.
It's never on the menu.
No, but I mean, it's common. It can it definitely happens. You know what I was having a hard time with, Preston, with my long nails was typing. I kept messing up.
There are times when it's quiet, or we're talking.
Yeah, here in the show, in the studio, we'll hear your nails kind of.
And it's sort of ASMR.
Oh, very much so to me.
Yeah, you're not going to hear it now because I cut my nails.
When Kathy and I are in the office alone and she's typing, and I love it, man. I'll stop what I'm doing. You don't know that. I'll sit there and listen. I'm like, just don't stop doing that.
Yeah,
it's so relaxing.
But I was
you're going to be my regular.
Stop it.
Oh, just ruined our relationship.
Oh, my God. We had a thing
going there for a minute.
What were you going to say?
So I was having a hard time typing. Like, I kept messing up, and I don't usually do that. I'm a pretty good typer, and I was like, and that was another reason why I cut them.
I see people who do it, women who have exceptionally, and some guys who do it as well, but I don't know how you do that and yet remain precise.
Well, you know, I type with the tip of my finger, so with the long nail, I was then using, like, you know, my actual finger instead of the nail.
Do you get carpal tunnel, though, from having to keep your hands at that, you know, angle?
No.
Right. You know what I hate seeing is somebody with those really long nails texting like this.
Chloe Kardashian.
Oh my God. So using not the fingertip.
Yeah.
Not even the finger pad, like that middle knuckle area.
How can they do that?
But that's the thing. You can't. The nail doesn't work. That's why they do that.
I know. Oh, I know.
Okay. Look it up. There's a screen here.
Yeah, we're looking at somebody with a long nails typing. but it's how someone can hit the exact letter with that large of surface of that portion of their finger.
I can't even do it with my fingertips, you know?
And some people will type like that, too, very slowly, you know, click, 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 click.
It's like the Khloe Kardashian popcorn eating thing, Kathy, because she's got, you know, talons.
Yeah,
that's
part of the...
Do the face. I know this is video, radio. But...
So good.
So anyhow, they go on to say that... you can transmit germs from your nails into your body by scratching, nail biting, nose picking, and finger sucking.
Oh. All right, a quick question here. If you were to take a moist rag and vigorously rub it in your butt and then draw it across someone's face, that would be unhealthy,
God,
right?
Ew.
I don't know. Have they done studies on that? Yes. I can't really answer that.
Andy, come back.
Yeah, I just sent you home, but we need you back here.
Even the CDC recommends that artificial nails should not be worn by healthcare workers who have direct patient care with high-risk patients.
I've heard that.
And that their nail tip should be kept in to 1/4 inch in length.
I'm fanatical with clipping my nails. I like them, you know, clip back behind the knuckle. No, I like them clean.
I bite my nails a lot when I do have a nice set of clippers and so on that I can clean them up. But if they're bothering me at the moment and I don't have access to them, I'll just gnaw them.
I will clip my nails over the toilet while I defecate into the garbage pail.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's an interesting approach. Way to do it,
but I remember an old wives' tale telling me that biting your nails, like, for the exact same reason that Preston you just highlighted in the story, like the dirt under the nails and the fungus, whatever. You could chew on your nails, and then that stuff could end up in your digestive system, and you could get sick as a result. And so that scared me away from biting my nails a long time ago. Wow. And so I don't anymore, but I did when I was a kid.
Biting them in the shower is the way to go.
Yes.
They're clean, but the water also softens them.
Yeah.
Don't want those going down the drain, though.
Wait, but why do you want to bite your nails?
I don't want to. If I just happen to be... somewhere, I'm driving or whatever, and I just realize, man, these are they're too long, and I don't have any gum. I'll just
or bite them
off. Like a tick? I don't sit and bite them like obsessively. It's only if they actually need to be trimmed.
It's like twirling hair. I think at some level,
they'll just get to it. Yeah, like that. All right, let's see. Stream of consciousness nerd. That's me. Nose jobs are not as popular as they once were in the United Kingdom. There's been a drop in people getting the procedure.
Rhinoplasty, was that for a long time the number one cosmetic surgery?
May have been.
Yeah.
But as people increasingly embrace non-surgical alternatives, they are getting away from rhinoplasty.
So what are non-surgical alternatives?
Good question. Yeah. It does not indicate that in this particular story, and I was wondering what that
making
was.
Your face fatter?
Yeah, what do you do that's non-surgical to I mean, because you can do, there are fillers and things like
right,
that
but
in
that's
other
surgical,
places,
right,
but that makes things larger.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're, even if you're not going, so what a boat, is Botox considered, it's not surgery.
It's not a filler.
No.
It's not what?
Cosmetic procedure, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that that would be the proper way to categorize that. So here you go, Steve. It says, surgeons say that fillers can help straighten a bumpy nose and offer a quick recovery time, but they cannot be used to reduce the size of the nose.
Oh, so that's what they're saying the alternative is? Yeah, a filler? So.
Can you move your head forward?
Make it bigger.
Yes. You gotta move your entire jaw forward.
Does anybody ever feel that they have a nose that's too small?
Yes.
I never hear about that.
Yes, where like it's too too buttony or too or there are some people who have where you can sort of see into the nostrils. I know that's something that's corrected. You got to watch
But I mean, if people actually wanted to make their nose larger, to have a procedure to make it bigger.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I haven't heard of.
I used to want to get a nose job. I have a relatively large nose. And
I would call it bulbous.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, like, I used to hate it. Now I'm fine with it. I do too.
Nick. Yeah. I think we probably have a similar
nose. I think it's pretty similar. Yeah.
Nose, yeah.
But I was watching Winning Time, the series about the Lakers the other day, and Adrian Brody's playing Pat Riley, and I found myself distracted by Adrian Brody's nose. He's a handsome fella.
Yeah. On a technical side, he doesn't have a nose. He has a schnoz.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's so hooked away from...
It's a big nose.
There are some profile shots of him that I could not stop staring at his massive nose.
He's a sex symbol.
He is.
He's got, you know, I mean,
he's a good-looking dude.
It works on him. Some people, yeah. It absolutely fits their face,
right?
and is not a seen as a negative at all.
There are, and we know this because there have been studies on it, women will subconsciously draw a conclusion that a guy with a schnoz like that has a big schlong.
I'm using
medical terms, by the way.
On the female side, in A Star Is Born, Lady Gaga, the big yep. part of that is about her nose being yep. too big. Mm-hmm. She's got a great looking larger
yeah.
nose, you know? So, yeah, it can fit. And you may not see it that way. That's a hard thing when it comes to self, you know, your
self-perception.
Self-image and perception, yeah.
So yeah, the worst scenario is over... tinkering with it because invariably they end up looking just bizarre.
There was a story I didn't get to get to it.
Everything in moderation.
I didn't get to get to it in the entertainment report, but Sharon Osbourne had said she had a disastrous cosmetic surgery and like her eye, one eye was like lower than the other like that.
She had been talking it up in advance because she was very excited. She was going to, you know, it was like a big, like, whatever the birthday was, or she was going to get this done and she'd been looking forward to it. And you know that Sharon Osbourne's going to a top person.
Yep. And after the surgery, Ozzy gave her some chocolates. It's a nice.
Yeah. You're from Goonies.
It was a candy bar here, right?
Yeah.
A baby roof. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like on that pirate ship?
But she's, she said it was a disaster. I can't imagine going through the surgeries. And these surgeries are, they're surgeries, dude. Yeah. They are not fun. The recovery is painful. And then having realized that it was done incorrectly, and you have to go through that again to get it fixed.
Oh, so I'm not proud of the fact that occasionally I check out this show Botched, but... it is wild. You have people who have gone back 5-6 times to correct these plastic surgeries. And you think, if you knew back then, you know, there's no way you would have gone through with this.
I think that's part of it, too, though. I think that's part of the addiction is it's not always, hey, it was done wrong. It's just like they're forming something else. And, and now, again, it's not what you were.
Yeah, put it back.
What you were looking for. I have a friend who had it done and then. There was like a stray bone or something that got loose. So it was like a little tiny bump. And so they had to go back in again and basically do it all over again and get that like bone fragment out.
Ugh.
Yeah. Because they're shaving your bone. You're making it smaller.
Did she have to pay for that, the second part?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably not.
She did some yard work.
Although, you know what? No, I don't know because the doctor said that it is like that.
it is a possibility. They do the best they can to clear it all out, and sometimes this just happens. So I don't know. That's a great question.
I saw that there was this one where they had this woman who had this liposuction. Did not go well, created sort of a large fissure, like on the other side. They had to close that up and borrow skin from. Awful. It's like, come on.
I mean, that's the thing. When you you have watched these procedures getting done, the doctors are not, you know, being ginger with it. I mean, they're with like a nose job. I've seen them with a hammer, like, and a chisel. Yeah.
And the most invasive is the lipo.
The liposuction. Yeah. They're not like just going around, you know, they're really jamming it in there.
I'm going to go to this caller, but first I want to double back to the fingernail conversation because I didn't see this text. And it says, hey, Kathy, I just figured you'd like to know that when I was in prison, there was a short time, 2 months, where I didn't have access to nail clippers. And my toenails were getting too long to the point of causing pain. And I had no choice, but I had to bite them off.
Lordy.
Luckily, I was able to do so. I remember seeing people doing that when I was a kid that would actually could stretch their mouth up to their their foot up to their mouth and bite their toenails.
They don't give them access to clippers and
I guess for some reason
weapons.
It's
like a shiv. So now I assume they just hand out pet eggs, right?
Probably. They're safer. You can't fashion that into a weapon. Hang on. Speaking of the nose jobs, I'm going to go to Megan. Hey, Megan, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Megan?
So, also, just to circle back, yes, I don't know why people electively get nose jobs. It is so painful. I had to have one after breaking my nose, and I just couldn't believe that people do this just for cosmetic reasons.
Yeah.
But after mine healed, so it was a pretty bad break, and then it was still, it did not look even from the outside. It still looked bumpy, and so the doctor gave me this non-surgical nose job, which has actually become very popular at her office, even for people that didn't experience a break. Just if you have kind of like a notch along the bridge of your nose.
Right.
Or kind of like that classic Roman nose. It doesn't really make it bigger, but it's an injectable.
And you're very happy with the results?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so much straighter.
Huh.
It really straightens out the bridge of your nose. And
they
do it for free afterwards because her thought was like, it's her work.
Right. So, Megan, does that filler diminish over time? Is it a one and done?
Yeah.
Or do you have it does. Okay.
It does diminish over time, but my doctor is again. It's her work. She feels that like it's her name out there.
Yeah.
So
how often do you get it done?
I have gone back in three times over the years. It's probably about 7 years ago since I had the original surgery.
Oh, okay.
She has done it a few times where she will give me. I call it like a little tune-up, and she will do the non-surgical procedure and just keep it looking straight for me. So I don't know if that goes for everyone, but that doctor was willing to do it.
And it's done via hypodermic, I assume?
Yes. So there is, it's not painful per se, but it is uncomfortable. They don't really numb it or anything. So it's certainly uncomfortable to have a needle in your face. And, you know, there's not a lot of skin on your nose. The bone is right there. So
they use that and a pickaxe.
Yep.
But it definitely, it makes you sweat a little bit to have a hypodermic in the nose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad it worked for you.
Awesome. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you. Love you guys.
All right. Love you too. We'll see you later.
Bye.
I love you.
I never had my nose broken.
Coming back.
Use non-surgical methods.
He's had some nose jobs.
Has he?
Fly
has?
Yeah. Broken a few times. Over there in Charlie would come out, punch me in the nose and run away.
Over there where?
I got my revenge name. I got my revenge, though. I burned down his old goddamn belly. You nose-breaking prick.
Then you came back here. You didn't get any respect or nothing.
What was wrong with your nose? Your nose was all stupid. Hell, I was on there fighting for you. But now it's different. I think also, in over the course of time, his sharpest nose was during Rocky III, where I think he could actually cut a steak with his nose.
Yeah. Yeah, and, everything was trimmed up then.
It was like insanely trimmed. Yep. Yeah, and but by
what they want, a nice looking nose, and I don't want a muffin top. This is not about a roof and my plastic surgeon. It's like a billion liposuctions going on. It's like a brilliant. Are you not satisfied with your nose? I was too.
Were you doing commercials?
While in Russia fighting Drago, I found a place that corrected all my problems. It's the Minsk Nose Clinic.
He was at Minsk.
I know they don't like you much there, but...
Not much done neither.
Yeah, but your new nose...
It's beautiful. Thank you, Russia, for my schnozola.
Hey, I'm going to go.
Let
me go to this call. Hi, Sean, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, it, Presbo. How
good
you doing?
Morning, it, buddy. I'm good. What's up, man?
Hey, when I was younger, like around 14 or 15, I was on a police athletic league boxing team.
Okay.
And I was sparring and had my nose broken, had to go to the nose specialist, ear, nose, and throat specialist. They said it, but what they did was when he did it, he said it wrong. So I had to go back three times and have my nose rebroken.
And
that's reset three times. It was horrible.
So, Sean, were you suffering things like apnea and other issues? Or
To this day, I still have problems with it, yes. Now in the springtime with allergies and stuff, it's horrible. I get headaches. I can't have it rebroke again. I will not do it again.
Okay.
Sean, this is a delicate question, but did they do the rods up the nose in order to break it?
Yes, they did all three times. They stick the syringe up to numb your nose. They stick it in your nose.
Okay.
I got three
or four needles in my nose, and then they stick the prongs up and re-break it.
Yeah.
Stick the tongs up in there?
I had a friend that had the same thing, Sean, and they stuck two metal rods up each nostril. And then adjusted his nose back to where it was supposed to go by using that process.
Oh, yeah, he actually had to straddle me, stick those prongs up, and it was like he was fighting.
I'm going to stick my butt in your face here real quick.
Yeah, you hear it cracking. Yep.
Yeah, and then did you have gauze up your nostrils for weeks afterwards?
Yes, I did. Two big black eyes. I had the whole night. Yes, I had the whole thing. Exactly.
Yeah. If you didn't better, Sean, they stuck a pool skimmer up my butt. And I snapped it off.
They stuck a pool skimmer up your butt?
Butt. Out my nose, and it snapped.
You're much tougher than most people.
And I'm a man.
Yeah. All right, Sean. Thank you, man.
Thanks appreciate lot, it.
All right, we'll see you. Wow. Yeah, that's the idea of having to break something as a medical procedure.
When they come with you, that little surgical hammer, which is part of it.
Yep. Yep.
Not good.
Nope. All right, let's see. We got time for one more?
For the stream of consciousness?
Yeah, a really, really short one.
Consciousness. All right. This one will be very quick. So the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission is reminding anglers and boaters to be aware of aquatic invasive species and prevent their spread. And one species of concern, is the New Zealand mud snails.
New Zealand mud? I've never heard of this.
That sounds like a sexual move.
Yeah.
So you've heard of,
I'm going to do the New Zealand mud snail on you. You can just stand there.
Is it zebra mussels?
Yeah.
When a zebra gets drunk.
No. Wants to fight everybody.
Got zebra mussels.
No, like mussels. They, I always forget the name of the quarry, Steve.
Oh, Dutch Springs.
Dutch Springs.
Yeah.
If you go out there, you need to wash down after you're done and not in your shower at home because these, you can bring back the eggs essentially or whatever it is from the zebra mussels and they can get in your plumbing and multiply and cause all kinds of problems. So they have this thing called the New Zealand mud snail. They've been detected in several popular cold water trout fisheries.
It's also good.
What?
So
Central and Eastern Pennsylvania.
Okay, so
Perkiomen Creek, Wissahickon Creek.
Are they in fact from New Zealand?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
So the State Fish and Boat Commission said the snails aren't harmful to humans but can compete with a negatively impact native freshwater invertebrate species such as other snails and aquatic insects.
It's funny because they look like almost like a screw, the head of a screw.
Yeah, they are roughly the size of a match head and have the potential to reach densities of hundreds or even thousands of snails per square foot.
Oh, my God.
Yes. They said because they're so small, these snails can be difficult to notice. They breed parthenogenically, meaning that it just takes one snail to start a whole new population.
Oh, wow.
And it is vital for anglers and boaters to properly disinfect their gear after every fishing or boating trip, especially when moving from one water to another.
I guess it would be impractical to put condoms on them.
Maybe, because they're so small.
So many of them.
It'd be hard to do that.
Wow, that sounds very invasive. And I've never, this is something I've never heard of.
No.
But, and for something so tiny, but to generate that many?
When I had a fish tank, I did get a snail to put in the tank to help clean the
sides, right?
But I just had one snail. That thing multiplied.
Oh, really?
Next thing you know, we had baby ones in there.
Wow.
And I guess maybe they do it like this. That
nature finds a way.
parthenogenically, is that how I said that? So, yeah, those things can take off.
How many snuppies did you have around?
I don't know. There's like 8 or 9 of them or something like that. And I eventually killed everything in the fish tank, so we didn't have to worry.
It's the standard course.
Yeah.
You know, I heard, by the way, Preston, and maybe someone can verify this or not, that Dutch Springs no longer is functioning.
I remember reading a story that they were going to close, and they were trying to keep that from happening. But that's a good question. Nick is going
to
look that up.
It was like the number one place to go get certified for a school. Yeah,
very much so. And just to dive recreationally in our area. Nick is looking that up. Let's see if we... Hard to say.
Permanently closed, it says, over to the right there.
Man.
See what it says on red? Mm.
Yeah. What does it say?
Permanently closed.
Ah, that sucks.
That's sad to hear.
It was a nice facility.
It was really cool, yeah.
It was cold, too. I mean, freezing freaking cold. That water came from a spring, and it was really, really, really cold.
It may partially reopen this summer, depending on construction.
Did you end up...
If the New Zealand worms get their way.
Yeah.
Did you end up getting wetsuits when you were all, like, certified and stuff like that, or did you rent those?
No, we would just rent them when we go diving. We didn't buy that stuff. We didn't buy any equipment, actually. I know Claire bought her equipment.
Oh, yeah. She has her own equipment.
We did not buy ours, because we weren't going to go that often, and you have to travel with it, and when you can just rent it, it's a little
Can I
easier.
Rent a wetsuit? I'm doing this mile swim Memorial Day weekend. And the water is going to be freezing.
Yeah.
So I need a wetsuit. And
I'll bet you the surf shops might have them too. At the shore. So.
Well, you're changing your physicality, rent it, and then when you it's a level you like, you could. They're not that expensive.
Yeah. All right.
Santa's got to go.
Yeah, Santa's got to go.
Stop talking and listen to me.
Okay. Play it again.
I need you to stop talking and listen to me.
That's when it's time to wrap up the segment. Yeah. Casey, just play that.
Yeah.
I need you to stop talking.
God, it's great.
Not even the listen to me part.
No.
I need you to stop talking.
Okay, thank you, Bill. All right, no more stream of consciousness, sir. We're done. We're going to take a break because Bill said it's time to stop talking, and we will return in just a moment. Make sure you stay put because we've got B-File and Concert Cash on the way next.
The MMRBQ is almost here, featuring Disturbed, The Pretty Reckless, Living Color, and maybe you.
Oh, that's right. This year, we debut the Preston and Steve Side Stage. Live band karaoke with Sidearm, plus our friends Froggy are going to be playing live. And it's the return of the Jackie Bam Bam Party Deck.
Want to sing on the Preston and Steve Stage? Get audition songs and details at WMMR.com. Then submit your video on social media using hashtag MMRBQ. Also, we're excited to announce our limited-time 420 ticket offer. 4 lawn tickets at $20 each. MMRBQ 2022, May 21st at Waterfront Music Pavilion.
Presented by NJM Insurance Group. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. And sponsored by Pro Team Collision.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks your summer.
MMR's Concert Cash.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
The word is cash.
Ooh.
It's an easy one, right? C-A-S-H. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. 3 ways for you to do it. You can text into the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or if you would like to also be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest. And all MMR winners receive 2 free tickets to the MMRBQ.
Winners get a call from Beasley. Make sure you answer your phone, and contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by AAA Distributor. Again, the concert word is cash. Good luck.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, got some interesting stories for you. Some of them pretty messed up. We'll start with this one, man. Did you guys see this? Game warden and his canine colleague discovered almost 381 whole shark fins.
Yeah.
And 29.2 pounds of frozen shark fins at a seafood restaurant in San Antonio, Texas. Kevin Winters, one of the two Texas game wardens, said that the case has not yet been submitted to the district attorney's office. The fins were all taken as evidence. Some of the fins came from black-tip sharks, which are found throughout the Gulf of Mexico, although it isn't clear that the sharks originated from the Gulf. Some were peeled already, prepared to be cooked for the soup. Shark finning, the practice of removing shark fins at sea and discarding the rest of the shark, is illegal in the United States. And the selling of shark fins is illegal in Texas. The Texas ban passed after the state emerged as a hub for shark fins. You ever seen video of them doing it?
It's horrible.
It's horrible. Literally just cut the fins off and throw them right back in the water.
Wait, why?
It's for shark fin soup, which is
delicacy.
It's a delicacy. It's considered medicinal. It really isn't. It's like old medicine. It's like old,
it's supposed to have, believe it or not, a sexual.
There's virility and things like that involved with it. So the demand in the market and the trade for fins is there. Shark fin soup is traditional and often expensive delicacy served in restaurants worldwide. But the persistent hunting of sharks for their fins has led to populations of some sharks to decline as much as 90%.
Well, we're looking at pictures of the fins, too. And so these would be smaller sharks. Yeah. These are young sharks they're doing this to.
Yeah, and I don't think they care what age. Yeah. They just cut them off, throw them back in. A Florida teen was fatally wounded while he and a friend took turns wearing body armor and shooting each other.
Come on.
Christopher Leroy Broad, 15 years old, died because of this after being rushed to the hospital. Following the teen's death, investigators determined that Broad and 17-year-old Joshua Vining had been taking turns shooting at each other while wearing a vest which contained a form of body armor. Detectives discovered evidence to prove that Vining had shot and killed Broad. Police said Vining shot at Broad while he was wearing the vest and he was struck. Vining was arrested Thursday. He has been charged with aggravated manslaughter of a child with a firearm. Police say they didn't say what kind of gun was being used or who owned it. A 16-year-old boy who witnessed the shooting initially lied to police about what had happened. I think they tried to lie their way out of it or something like that, but just terrible. You just can't.
You hear stories about this.
Yeah. A man at an Indian airport was spotted acting suspiciously and ended up being caught concealing 2 pounds of gold worth around $75,000 up his butt.
Wow.
Custom officers noticed that the man who arrived on an Air Arabia flight was looking
there's a lot in here.
Suspicious from his manners. I'm going to need a flashlight. According to the airport's...
And a minor bird.
Officials, a personal search was carried out when officials discovered 3 transparent polyethylene capsules wrapped in white plastic. Inside the capsules contained metal granules that turned out to be pure gold. It was extracted and seized. Upon the find, the passenger was arrested. An investigation into the matter is now taking place. Elsewhere, a similar incident happened at the Indira Gandhi International Airport in New Delhi. A man was arrested as customs officials found $50,000 worth of gold up his butt.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What's up your ass?
All right, I got a couple of death threat stories here.
All right.
It's amazing what some people will get fired up about. A California man was arrested Friday after he allegedly sent death threats to the staffers at Merriam-Webster. Because he was enraged by the dictionary's definitions of the words girl and woman. Jeremy David Hansen was charged with 1 count of interstate communication and threats to commit violence. If convicted, he can face up to 5 years in prison. Prosecutors say that Hansen messaged the dictionary staff through their website's contact us page and posted in the comments of the online dictionary pages defining girl and woman, threatening to bomb their offices. He said, it's absolutely sickening that Merriam-Webster now tells blatant lies and promotes anti-science propaganda.
That's like jumping over double dog dare.
He said, there is no such thing as gender identity. The imbecile who wrote this entry should be hunted down and shot. He said, your headquarters should be shot up in another message and bombed.
Pick one.
It is sickening that you have caved to the cultural Marxist anti-science agenda and altered the definition of female as part of the left's efforts to corrupt and degrade the English language and deny reality. You evil Marxists should all be killed. It would be poetic justice to have someone storm your offices and shoot the place up, leaving none of you commies alive. Dictionary staff took the threats seriously. They actually shut down the offices, all of their offices, for 5 days. And the FBI said that Hansen's message had crossed the line. He said threats to life are most certainly not protected speech.
Do you have any history of anything violent?
And they cause real fear in victims. Investigators also allegedly identified similar threats sent to the ACLU, Amnesty International, Hasbro, and a New York City rabbi, among others. So this guy likes to threaten people regularly.
Who makes Mr. Potato Head? I wonder if that has anything to do with that.
Hasbro. Maybe. All right, so here's another threat story. In Florida, a mother accused of making a bomb threat to a high school months ago left the school a voicemail threatening it over her son's school lunch portions. Records show...
There's too much. terrible food.
Anaya Matoya Smith was booked at the county jail on Wednesday. She left a voicemail with the Cocoa High School on the evening of February 3rd, threatening to, quote, blow that mother effer up over the amount of food her son was being given at lunch. The voicemail was just one of four bomb threats made to the school from February to March.
Hi, I'm just calling to tell you that I'm going to blow that mother effer up.
Prompting an FBI investigation after police found two of the threats were made outside Florida. Smith's son, who was no longer at the school by the time the affidavit was filed, had been in a verbal argument with a cafeteria worker the day the threat was made because he wanted extra food. An officer who claimed to have had numerous encounters with Smith as recent as January said he recognized her voice from the messages on the school's answering machine. She faces a felony charge of making a false report to bomb state property and a misdemeanor charge of interfering with school administrative functions. And there you go. We'll wrap it up. That is what I have in the bizarre file for now. All right. So you still have about 6 minutes left to get the word cash over to us. It is the MMR Concert Cash word. So enter that right now. Cash. C-A-S-H. And after you do that, how would you like to go see the latest Doctor Strange movie?
This is pretty awesome.
We've got a screening of Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness Wednesday, May 4th, 7 p.m. at the UA King of Prussia. Film doesn't hit theaters till May 6th, so it's before everybody else sees
it.
So let's take callers 10, 11, and 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will get you in that seat to see that movie. So call now. We'll be back in a second. We got more to give away with a lesson question, and we'll get into the trash and music news as well. Stay put.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Man, I keep forgetting this. We got to do the lesson question, and I keep leaving my lesson questions.
Because we can't print them.
Yes. So let me pull them up. Here we go. I haven't looked at these yet. So I do know that we are going to give away a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. And the question that we will go with today. Yeah, I think I want to go with this. Which Eastern European city did Rocky/Sly Stallone visit for his nose job? In fact, he did an infomercial about it.
Absolutely.
That we had here on the show. So which Eastern European city did Rocky/Sly Stallone or Rambo or whoever you want to call him visit for his nose job? Let's see if you heard it and you know the answer. You should call in 215-263-WMMR.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. They take great satisfaction in getting that perfect meat slice But they don't do it for fun. They do it for fresh because slice to order makes a sub above. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, some viewers of the reality show Selling Sunset admitting to having a difficult time telling nearly identical twins Jason and Brett Oppenheim apart. In an effort to assist those viewers, one expert in gemology, the study of twins, suggests that you stop watching the show and get a life. During an appearance on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, Rosie Perez gave massive props to former co-star Peter Dinklage for his kissing skills. Mm. Perez says she can still feel his tender lips against her knees.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
And finally, last week, Daniel Bergoglio, a.k.a. Bad Baby, got excoriated for claiming she made $50 million off of her OnlyFans. But yesterday, she shared a screen grab of her earnings page that seems to confirm it. Bergoli says there are days she works so hard that she completely runs out of queefs.
Okay. Let's see if we can get an answer to the lesson question. Which Eastern European city did Rocky/Sly Stallone visit for his nose job? And I will go to Steve. We'll try him out. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Hey, Preston, good morning.
All right, buddy. So what Eastern European city did Rocky visit for his nose job?
I'm going to go with Minsk.
Minsk. Yeah. Hang on the line, Steve. Just got yourself a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card, and you can spring into seasonal specials at Bonefish Grill and enjoy jumbo shrimp skewers prepared in a light citrus herb marinade or wood-grilled salmon caprese with genichetti.
Gnocchi. There's two ways to say it, genichetti or gnocchi.
Try pairing with a refreshing strawberry citrus martini. And you can visit bonefishgrill.com to reserve your table today.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, it is brought to you this morning by A.D. Moyer Lumber, trusted expert since 1939. A.D. Moyer Lumber is your professional source for decks, windows, doors, kitchens, millwork, and more. You can visit them on the web at admoyer.com. I have only one item for
that's
music
okay.
News today.
Yeah,
it's all I could find that I thought was, worth passing along.
You were the stream of consciousness number four, and that took its toll.
A lot of information given. All right, but the one story I have has to do with Gene Simmons. He revealed that in addition to packing it in on the road, Kiss is done as a recording entity.
It's over.
No big surprise.
It's over, Johnny. This time it's over.
Nothing
is over!
Oh, okay.
Calm down, Johnny.
That's what that was from. The band's last album was 2012's Top 3 Monster Collection. Simmons was pressed by Classic Rock magazine as to whether he saw Kiss ever recording a follow-up to his 20th studio set. Simmons said, "I do not. Not to say we don't enjoy the creative process, but Kiss is not a charity. Working your ass off to have somebody download or stream your music for free is not my idea of how things should be.
It's goddamn criminal.
When you don't put a value on music, it doesn't have value.
Chicken feed doesn't grow on trees."
Well, does it?
I don't know.
It's actually in the ground.
It is ground.
You know, corn, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, yeah, those wouldn't be trees.
It's not on trees.
Nope. When asked...
Don't tell
hey
me,
now,
man.
Hey, now. When asked about his emotions
regarding... Let me check ass cheese.
How about Duck, Duck, Go?
Duck, Duck, Go.
Do that one, too. When asked about his emotions regarding Kiss winding down his touring career, Simmons said, "Quite honestly, I don't really think about it much because we really are having the best time ever and we're playing better than ever. But I know that at some point there's going to be that last song that Kiss will ever play on stage. And I know I'll be crying like a baby and won't be able to hold back the emotions.
Crying like a bitch!
Because what an amazing journey this has been."
And maybe the song will be from Journey.
You think they would do, yeah, Kiss Absolutely. Ends with a Journey song. Who's crying now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Simmons, by the way, spoke about his 2006 to 2012 A&E reality show, Gene Simmons Family Jewels, and his decision at the time to expose his family and private life to fans. He said, "I looked at it as a family video album. Also, it was a chance to teach commerce to my kids, Nick and Sophie. I never gave them an allowance, so that was when they got their first paychecks," he said.
Deadbeat bastards.
Kiss performed tonight in Porto Alegre, Brazil.
And the band kicks off its North American dates on May 11th in Milwaukee.
So, Shannon Tweed, he's now officially married to Shannon Tweed. Is he
yeah,
not?
They ended up getting married several years ago. Yeah, he had swore he never would get married, and then he eventually did.
We would comment on this show occasionally, The Family Jewels. That's the one that actually featured his face procedure with, like, the Kathy, they took his face off.
They, like, peeled it off, right? Yep. Oh, my God.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, just like that.
By the way, I have to commend you on your T-shirt, Mr. Morrison,
which is given from a listener.
Mount Rushmore, but with the Kiss figures. Paint on their faces.
And again, this is from Erica Houston.
Yes.
She says, that because of the connection to the chickens and Gene Simmons, it's Mount Kissmore.
Kissmore. Is she a chicken fan, I guess?
She appears to be, but who is not?
Right.
The mighty beast.
That majestic bird.
Like the great condor. Listen to its call. More hypnotic than the loons.
It's majestic. It is.
As it takes flight or it just jumps.
Have you ever seen chicken fly? It's pretty wild.
No.
Why
isn't a koala a bear?
Doesn't have the right qualifications. Of course. It more so falls with grace.
Right. Like turkeys?
Yeah.
Like it can get some distance, but not a whole lot?
Yeah.
They're not flying across the Atlantic.
No.
Yeah, they're not in herd, you know, it's in flocks.
If you ever take a cruise, you see a whole bunch of drowned chickens.
That would suck to be a bird that can't fly.
It would suck to be a bird.
God, you're evil.
I know.
I would love to be like Icarus or, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be very cool to fly.
What would suck worse, to be a bird that can't fly or
that can't sing?
No, a bird that's edible.
Oh, a bird that is, the chicken.
Desirable
to be eaten?
Yeah. Oh, man, what? Horrible thing happened yesterday.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Do I need to hear about that? Did you see something get hit by a car?
No.
Did you eat a chicken?
No, but one of my dogs ate something.
Oh, rabbit.
A cat? We're walking our dogs, and all of a sudden, one of our dogs picks something up. It was Carter and I, and he goes over. He's like, "Hey, like, stop that. Run it." It was a baby bird.
Oh.
That was still alive.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
And so she dropped it, and it was, you know, kind of opening and closing its mouth, and some blood was coming. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's their instinct.
And I know. And then so we set the bird aside, and then we were going to walk away, and then Rook goes over and just... Jesus and just starts out, nong, nong, nong. I'm like, oh, my God, you murderers.
They tag team
it. It's their nature.
I know.
And also, they because you have them in sort of a pack scenario, too. So they're doing that's
their breed. Yeah. Their breed goes after, like, rodents and things like that. And so they are hardwired to go after anything small that scurries or moves.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh.
But the one was like, yo, distract them. Distract them.
Really? Yeah. Scare them. I'll get them. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So
there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Have a nice day. Yeah. All right. We're going to have to take a break. But I was conflicted because I love these animals. I absolutely love these pets. They're members of the family.
It's like when my cats or when Mia, who's the one cat that goes outside, brings a cute little field mouse to the back door.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We need to cleanse the palate with commercial interruption. So we'll come back in a moment.
Stop talking.
We'll come back and we'll wrap up the show. Letter of the day, word of the week, and all that stuff. Stay there.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Well, check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on MMR's mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Red Hot Chili Peppers song's called Hey O, so... Figured what situation do his thing there. Snow, hey yo.
Red Hot Chili Peppers on MMR, 1040, and the Preston and Steve Show coming to a close for a Tuesday morning. 2 days into the work week. We're working. We're getting there. We're going to be there. Next thing you know, we're going to be waking up with a few beers in our hands at Keenan's Irish Pub, welcoming in the official summertime. When is it actually that we call it the unofficial, the opening of the Jersey Shore? But summer doesn't start for another
June 21st.
Yeah,
June
20th. A few weeks after that. But we get it started early.
And that's, yes,
that's when it begins.
Well, also we're coming back after not having it in full vigor, and it's also just by sheer square footage bigger than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. I might be a scare.
Yes.
I might be a little
scared. Be scared. Yeah, so. Be very scared.
Coors Light is the sponsor of this event. Details at WMMR.com. We're getting ready for that. I would like to thank from the Laurel House, Tina Quincy, for coming out. Of the Laurel House, the Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event is Saturday, May 7th. That's right. Grown men and women and young people, too, wearing high heels, walking a mile to raise money for to helping support this group that supports people who are victims of domestic abuse and violence. And I'm normally the MC, and I cannot make it. Steve Morrison has volunteered to be there in my stead, and you've been there for the event
as
well.
Yes, a number of
times. You know what it's all about. So anyhow, it's coming up May 7th. You can go to WMMR.com and join Team WMMR. It would be a blast, and they help out a great organization to boot. And thank you to Mr. Jay Wright.
Yay!
For being on the show. Such a great guy. It's sad that he is wrapping up his basketball coaching career, or at least retiring for now. We'll see if something opens up later on, but I'm happy for him. He seemed it's time for him, and he knows it. Rather than try and strangle something out of it and force himself to not be operating at 100%, he has decided to let it go, and he's going to stay involved in Villanova in some capacities, but yeah, he's done coaching.
Absolutely. I'm sure it will be just a matter of time before we see him signing on to something big.
Dear friend of the show, by the way, so it was great to have him on this morning. Another dear friend of ours, Pierre Robert.
Hey! Thank you.
How are you?
Hi, fine, thank you. Fine, thank you. I'm fine.
And whispering sweet nothings to your gal over there?
I sure am.
Gal.
Schmoogums.
Steakums.
Steakums. My little tofu nugget.
Well, it's Tuesday. Before we do our letter of the day, why don't we go ahead and award a winner for Tattoos Day. That winner is Austin Carter.
Yeah!
Who's from Ole, PA. And Austin is getting a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And you can check them out at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia for artwork samples. You can also visit floatingworldtattoos.com, where their Instagram page is at Floating World Tattoos. They're amazing. They're great. And we love it. And Austin, you're a very cool person for getting that and wanting to get a Preston Steve tattoo. We appreciate that very, very much. Shall we do the letter?
Is there a gallery of Preston and Steve tattoos? Online.
There used to be, but like now they're kind of...
There's too many.
So many of them.
And there's we don't do them in-house as much anymore, right, or at all, really. So they used to be here, and we could gather photos, and we had a gallery on the website. But now you can, find them on Instagram, especially when the tattoo artist posts them. But like as far as on our website, not really.
There must be thousands of them.
At this point, it's crazy.
Hundreds for sure.
Yeah.
If you go to Don Juan's tattoos, he's the... it's Don Mother Effin' Juan. He does a lot of the stuff for us, and if you go to his Instagram page, he posts a lot of this.
Oh, very cool. Nice. I remember the one of the Last Supper.
Yes.
It was great.
With all of us.
With all of us, and me as the big guy.
Yeah.
So that was pretty wild.
Yeah, anyway, that was a large one.
It was on his entire back.
Yep. Yeah.
And that poor bastard is carrying us around for the rest of his life.
I know. It's
crazy. God bless him.
Yep, all exactly. Right. Now we can do this?
Now we can.
Okay, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
O, as in outrageous.
All right, an O, and we have a Buena Vista Ultimate Summer Tailgate Party Pack. It's four cases of Stone Brewing's Buena Vista, a variety case of other Stone Brewing beers, three Buena Vista branded cornhole sets, a Stone Brewing Easy Up tent, Stone Brewing flags, and a bunch of Buena Vista t-shirts.
And this summer, you can enjoy Stone Brewing's Buena Vesa, a Baja-inspired Mexican lager brewed with sea salt and lime. Visit find.stonebrewing.com. To find Buena Vesa near you, so you can do that. We'll give that away on Friday. What's up on your show today?
Well, we've got two opportunities for Concert Cash. Yesterday, I gave it away three times. At noon and two, yesterday, I gave away three times because I had a winner on Friday that I spaced out on calling. So on Pierre Standard Time, I called my Friday winner yesterday. And so I had three winners, but we'll have two opportunities, noon and two. If that makes sense, just stay with me and I'll get you through it. Also, Workforce Blocks of Live and Grateful Dead and Weezer and Double Shot Tuesday.
Excellent. I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today.
That's my fault.
Okay. It's been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Acme Markets. You can get your free flu shot or COVID-19 booster at their pharmacy. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. And also by Coors Light, made to chill. Please enjoy responsibly. Tomorrow, Wednesday, Secret Text Word, Fox Good Day. And joining us will be former Eagles defensive lineman, Trent Cole.
Hey, on the nice. Show.
We'll find out what else we get into. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Bing dang, doo doo be do, doo da da doo dip doo doo ba boo ba boo ba ba da da doo doo ba 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 ba.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.